This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh**.
PFW in Progress.
Poop again!
You caught the sh**.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Ferrillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour, then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I hope they're not dumber for having listened to this show, Tom. What do you think?
I'm sure they are. We got anything to talk about today? Or?
Yeah, no, it's a real quiet time here at Gillette Stadium. And I thought it was very thoughtful of the Patriots to recognize the start of our daily PFW in Progress schedule here on a Tuesday at Gillette Stadium and recognize the fact that we're going to have now 4 days to fill rather than just our normal weekly Wednesday show during the off season, and really come through and give us plenty to talk about. And I'm sure that all of our listeners have a lot on their minds. You know, other than the fact that the season opener took place on Sunday, Tom, and it was a much more difficult game than most of us anticipated, Patriots coming out with a hard-fought 19-17 victory. And then a day later, trading Deion Branch to Seattle for reportedly a first-round draft pick. And then the Patriots possibly filing some grievances, tampering charges toward the Jets, and in turn the Jets camp, well, not the Jets, but Branch and his agent Jason Shayett, possibly saying the Patriots may have had some wrongdoing in the fact that they were dealing with Deion directly and possibly urging him to fire his agent. Other than that.
Yeah, nothing going on.
Nothing going on.
And Richard Seymour with some big comments. I'd like to get the, if you're listening, email in on what you guys think of what Richard Seymour said about the whole situation. Because to me, that's big. I mean, you're talking about the second best player on the team, someone who's respected, who when he talks, people listen, who basically said, we didn't win anything today at it, and hearts were broken when Coach Belichick announced that Branch was gone. That's, to me, that's kind of a big deal. It's not Tom Casale or Paul Perillo saying it. This is Richard Seymour standing in the Patriots locker room telling reporters this. I thought that was kind of a big deal.
No, I agree, and that is the way that we'll start off this show today. PFW in Progress on a Tuesday. As Tom just mentioned, Paul Perillo and Tom Casale with you for the first hour. Andy Hart will come down at 1 o'clock to take my place. And he'll join Tom, and we are back on our daily schedule now with the regular season underway. We'll be with you Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time, and we will be happy to answer any and all of your questions. And obviously right now it's less about questions as it is about comments and commentaries. I think we can all agree that for the purposes of the here and now, getting a resolution to this situation is probably best for all parties concerned. And obviously, the Patriots would rather have the player, Deion Branch, on their roster. But short of that, I think this is the next best thing. And rather than having him hang around out there and continue to be, is he here? Is he coming back? When's he coming back? Will he sit out the first 10 weeks? Will he re-sign next year? Will he be franchised? That's all over now. He's gone. He's in Seattle. The Patriots can put that distraction behind them as quickly as possible. As Tom mentioned, it does certainly seem to be a little bit of a distraction. Some of the players obviously taking the news very hard yesterday in the locker room. Richard Seymour, top of that list. Tom has those comments. We'll talk about those a little bit. webradio@patriots.com. We want to get your thoughts and your opinions on the whole situation. webradio@patriots.com, or you could give us a call, 508-543-7482. You can talk to Jason, who's subbing in for Gary today. I don't know where Gary is. I saw him upstairs. He's probably got some media luncheon spread that he needed to take part in. But anyway, Jason's with us, and we're in good hands there. Well, theoretically, anyway. What?
Just a little. It's okay, though.
Okay. Was that... Was I thinking out loud?
Just be quiet, fake Gary.
All right. Fake Gary. I like that. So Tom and I will take you up until 1 o'clock, and then Andy will come down, and I'm sure he'll throw some kerosene on the fire like he always does. But obviously right now, I think... Let's tackle this thing one at a time. And I don't want to forget about the game either. We're going to talk about the game plenty, but I think this branch thing is obviously first and foremost on everybody's mind. In and of itself, Tom, the trade, Deion Branch in exchange for a first-round draft pick. Agree, disagree, thoughts, comments, profound...
I think it's a decent deal for both sides, because with Seattle, obviously... Now, Seattle could go 7-9. If they play like they did against Detroit, they will go 7-9, let's be honest. So in that aspect, the Patriots would win on both ends. But if Seattle's the team that they think they can be, and it's basically a second... You know what I mean? There's no different if you're given a Jets second-round pick or Seattle's first-round pick.
Yeah, you got to figure, based on what you think Seattle is going to be,
right,
the highest it's going to be is like 28th, 29th, right, or 30th. Because even if they don't make the Super Bowl, they're going to have a pretty good record.
You figure in the
because that's
the
a
playoffs.
terrible
right.
division, and they're going to be in the playoffs. And it doesn't matter if they have a good. I mean, they could get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs,
mm-hmm,
but they're going to have a good enough record that they're going to get seeded down there. Because only the two Super Bowl representatives do they ignore the record,
right?
And see that they automatically get the last two spots, 32 and 31.
But you know, when it comes to the Patriots now you have all these draft picks. I fully expect them to be moving up on draft day instead of they're typically moving back or whatever. But I think they package something. They need to get an impact player, specifically at linebacker, maybe receiver. So I think you're going to see a very active team on draft day. What are they going to have, 35 draft picks? So...
Well, they lost some of those, don't forget,
right
now. You know, they made all these trades.
I hear people talking about, you know, Jerry Porter and things like that. But here's my problem with that kind of thinking. We're sitting up in the press box before the game. Oh, there walks Chad Jackson in street clothes. There goes Doug Gabriel in street clothes. We got guys on this team now that don't even know the offense who haven't even played. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we're still waiting for Gabriel and Jackson. Now we're going to trade another draft pick away, which would obviously be a first or a second for Porter, another draft pick away for another guy to come in here and learn the offense, and I just don't know if that's the route to go at this stage. I think you go with what you have, you address the situation in the offseason. We all thought Dante Stallworth would have been the best fit, and the Eagles got him for a song and dance. And
fourth round pick and a backup linebacker.
Yeah, and look what he did. So if you're going to question the Patriots' moves, I think the one thing you would question is, why didn't they bring anybody else in when they had a chance earlier on? Right now, I don't think it makes much sense to do so.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think that's probably the biggest reason why you don't see a lot of in-season trades in the NFL is because more so than any other sport by far, it's just too difficult to come in and learn another team's entire system, you know, as opposed to baseball where you can change a team and you're still hitting against the pitcher. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can learn, you know, the signs and the philosophies of an organization, but it's all a different story when you literally don't know where you're going on an offensive play if you don't know a team's
right
system. It's, as you said, apples and oranges.
And I don't think you can say anybody lost here. The Patriots got a first-round draft pick.
I think the Patriots did very well in a bad situation.
They got a first-round draft pick for a guy who wasn't going to play the first 10 games at the very least. And Deion Branch got what he wanted. He got out of here. He got a big contract. And so I guess everybody's happy.
Now, as you said, if you know, I feel like the Patriots made the best of a bad situation. But as you said, maybe one way you could look at it is, you know, and maybe have some criticism is, what were they thinking about, say, 3, 4, 5 months ago when they knew that Branch was a possibility for holdout, and they definitely knew that because they were already really starting the wheels in motion to negotiate. I think they just kind of thought that they could get the guy re-signed, and I wonder why they didn't really, you know, and obviously the Chad Jackson situation you can't blame them for because
right,
that was probably one step that they thought they had taken – to rectify this, and then that kind of has been unfortunate that he hasn't been able to get on the field yet. But beyond that, there were some big-name receivers available. And when I say big name, I don't want to overstate it. There were some
decent
NFL receivers, Javon Walker, Ashley Lalee, Dante Stallworth. There were some guys out there that perhaps could have, made significant contributions had they been brought in, say, in June rather than now.
Right.
So I think that's one slight criticism I think would be a valid one, is maybe they didn't have as much foresight. And like I've been saying on this show for weeks, Tom, I had conversations with people that thought that the Deion Branch thing could get ugly.
Right.
And that was way back right after the draft, and certainly they did.
And I got to be honest with you, I can't recall in my 25-so years of watching football a team have three receivers active for a game, and one of them was called up from the practice squad the day before. I think that's unprecedented. It might have happened before. I mean, there's been thousands of football games played, but how many times do you actually see that? And Bam Childers was a non-factor. Everybody's hero. It wasn't even remotely ever open.
You know what's funny about him, and I'm going to come full circle on this guy, because I mean, I loved him last year in training camp because I just thought he was one of those small guys who – was probably overlooked because of his size, and he just went out there and he made every play possible, and I was rooting for him, and then he made it, made the practice squad, and then he became something bigger than he was,
right?
And all of a sudden people, were overestimating him in my mind, so I kind of turned on him. I'm coming full circle now. Now all of a sudden, Branch is gone, and Bam Childers is becoming the butt of people's jokes. One local columnist today said, in Bill we trust, but In Bill, I trust. In Bam, I don't. This isn't Bam Childress's fault, guys. don't put this on him. He is what he is. He's a fringe NFL roster kind of player. He's not going to be out there making 12 catches a game. It's not Terrell Owens here.
Right.
So, it's funny. I'm coming full circle on the guy. I know you're not, but there's been a lot of references, sarcastic references to Bam Childress and on the stories today about the current state of the wide receiver position for the Patriots. It's not his fault that they decided to let their first, five receivers from last year go. First five guys are all gone.
Troy Brown is the number one receiver on this team.
Five out of six. Yeah, Troy Brown was here last year. Sorry.
I mean, a few months ago, if I had told you that, what would you have thought? Troy Brown.
I would have thought that they misjudged the market.
We were wondering if he was going to come back. When the season ended, it was Troy Brown coming back for another year. Now he's the number one receiver on the team. And I got news for you. If they don't get any more production from the receiver position, Ben Watson isn't going to have a very big year either, because it's a lot easier to double-team tight ends than it is Randy Moss and Terrell Owens.
Right, and you know what? A lot of people were talking about how good Buffalo's defense played on Sunday and how they were able to take that. Well, if you weren't able to take advantage of the fact that Buffalo had five rookies out there, including two rookie safeties for the last three quarters of the game, then I don't really know what else you can expect to get.
No, and they're running the ball at will. It's not like they were struggling running the foot. You know what I mean? They're running the ball at will, and they still couldn't throw it.
Because Buffalo was sitting back with like six and seven defensive backs.
Right.
They were just covering. And the guys were having a hard time. And I thought that, we're going to get to the game here, too. I thought they had some problems in pass protection, especially early, and I thought Tom was really, really under the gun right from the start, and it doesn't help much when you have a situation where you just don't have anybody that you have really a base of comfort with other than Troy Brown.
Right.
Because even Ben Watson at this point, he's 29 catches last year. That's basically all that Brady has to work on. There's a long way to go here.
And
when
you look at the Bills, Dick Geron has never been a blitzing kind of coach. He kind of goes with the front four, basically. He'll throw in a blitz every now and again like he did to open the game with the Keel Spikes. But if those receivers can't beat the jam, now you're looking at teams coming up like the Jets, the Dolphins, the Broncos, who love to blitz. So that's going to be an interesting situation moving forward, I think. If these guys can't get open, I think you're going to see Brady take more and more hits. And I'll tell you what, I can't believe he made it out of Sunday's game. So he can't take too much more.
He is a tough guy.
Tom Brady is tough
in any way you measure the word. I mean, tough mentally, tough physically. He took a lot of big hits. And he took some that he wasn't necessarily expecting to get. You know, there's a difference between, you know, kind of seeing a blitz come right in your face and you prepare yourself or whatever. He took some hits that came completely out of nowhere and came quickly. Not the least of which was the very first offensive play of the season when Spikes just buried him from behind. And that's going to need I'm not as worried about that because I just think that was kind of a bad half of football by the offensive line, an inconsistent half of pass protection on their part. I thought it got a little bit better in the second half. I think that group is pretty good. I don't see a lot of runaway rushes against the Patriots the way that we saw them Sunday. So I'm not as concerned about that because I think they can get that shored up. But I am concerned about your other point, Tom, and you know, where does he find a consistent target? And that's obviously where a lot of the emailers are going here. Tom is our first, Tom O'Connor, our first emailer here, wants us to talk about what this now means for the Patriots with the whole Branch situation. Do we have money free to pick someone up that might be available who is good but obviously cheaper, or is there no one? Some names that have been thrown around, Tom, you know, the Raiders, obviously, you know, it seems like their entire receiving corps is disgruntled.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Porter is a guy that's still out there, but I think Jerry Porter is going to cost you the first-round pick back.
It's like
he's got a big contract.
Right,
as well.
It's like I asked you upstairs, didn't Jerry Porter's name come up when they were discussing Doug Gabriel? They've already traded for a Raiders receiver.
Right.
If they were really hot on Jerry Porter, wouldn't that have already come about? I don't know, and I know a lot of people are talking about Randy Moss. Listen, I saw Randy Moss sit down on ESPN last night and say that Art Shell was too tough as a head coach, that his practices were too hard, and that
the off-season program was too demanding.
And they don't need all these mind games. So if you think that's going to work here, good luck.
Tom's email has a couple other questions. Are we sufficiently below the cap that we would consider picking up someone from a different position if there is value on the market, maybe special teams or a linebacker? Is there any benefit to the Pats over this news? The distraction is over or anything else? Well, there's always players available. I mean, I don't know exactly what, you know, look, the Patriots are always going to be in the market. They're going to be scouring the wires. They're going to be bringing guys in and out. I don't think you're going to get, as Tom mentioned right off the top, impact guys to come in and make significant contributions. I think that's kind of unrealistic. Archel Hawkins last year is an example, I would say, on the very high end of a contributor that you can get in the middle of the season. So, if you think that he was the difference between going 10-6 last year and, say, going 8-8 and not make the playoffs, then you have a bigger opinion of Trell Hawkins than I do. And I think a lot of the guy. I think he performed very well last year. But I just don't think you're going to get a difference-making type of player.
An impact player
at any
point.
Position.
No.
The other thing about the distraction, and Tom kind of touched on this, and I want you to read those quotes, a couple of those passages from Richard Seymour, Tom. I think this I don't think it's a major going forward, I don't think it's a major issue. I think right now it is a little bit of a distraction for the team because I think they're a little bit disappointed in the way the whole thing was pointed out. And I think one comment from Seymour in particular where he kind of displayed that was the one where he talked about Deion Branch being exactly the kind of player, you know, that fits the Patriots' mold, you know, in all ways. And I'll let Seymour's words speak.
Yeah, this is what Seymour says after he said their hearts were broken and that he said, it's disappointing to say the least. Then he went on to say, the guy embodied everything we wanted or everything the coaching staff and ownership talks about wanting in a Patriots uniform. He's done that as good as anybody that put on a Patriots uniform. He was a stand-up type guy, and he's a good friend. So not to have 83 in a Patriots uniform definitely hurts. So he's basically saying everything that they talk about here, that's what he was, and that now he's not here anymore.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to overstate this because I don't think it means that the Patriots are about to go on an 8-game losing streak.
Right.
That's not going to happen. They've dealt with these situations before. They've been able to win. We need to look no further than 2003 when the Lawyer Malloy thing was devastating to that locker room, and it showed on the field immediately in a 31-0 loss. But they rebounded from that. They put it behind them, and they were able to win the Super Bowl that year. Time will tell if this team is talented enough to do that. Right now, I'm not sure it is, but time will tell if it is or not. But I don't want to dismiss it as well just because they won before by overlooking, a disappointing situation. Doesn't mean that you're always going to just overlook it. So I wanted to bring that up, and Seymour is a very, very respected voice in that locker room, and for him to be that affected by it to me was noteworthy.
And let me ask you, Keyshawn Johnson made a comment this year about not playing for New England for $5 a day. Now you're getting stuff like this going around, and people should know that the players are very close in this league. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are close personal friends. I know the fans want to make them these big enemies. That's not how it works. These guys are all very close, and they talk, and things get around. And now you're starting to see a little bit some of these players unhappy. Vinatieri wanted out. Deion Branch referred to it wasn't just the money thing, that he kind of wanted out.
He said the money was part of it, but there were other aspects of what they were trying to do that they felt was unjust. So, and I'm not taking a side either way.
Right, but I'm just bringing this up, and we know the Patriots missed on a couple of people they were trying to sign early on in free agency. Do you think this is going to have a lingering effect in that aspect going on that players are going to say?
Well, that's the part of it, Tom, that I think here? You're absolutely right on, is because this is 2 years in a row now that they haven't really seemed to be able to bring in the guys that they've quote-unquote been interested in free agent-wise. Why is that? Now, Derek Mason, they reportedly offered more money to than Baltimore did, but it was a situation where his wife wanted Baltimore, and he stayed there. He went there, rather. But are you telling me there were no free agent-wide, Joe Jurevicius this year? I had one person tell me
guy that they were interested
who?
In, right? Wasn't it Finneran that they were?
Finneran's another guy. Joe Jurevicius was a guy that I heard, someone told me, someone in the organization said to me, would you have paid two whatever million for him? Well, if that's what he costs and I want the player, yes, I would have. That's what I don't understand. I think that to me could be a concern going forward, is that we continue to say everybody else overpays and then you're stuck, with Doug Gabriel, Bam Childress, Rishay Caldwell as, three of your top four receivers.
And Keyshawn's a guy who has friends in this organization and still took a shot at him.
Very, very close friends in Bill Belichick and, in others.
And he's not a guy who's played here. So my point is that players around the league are starting to hear this, and there's the rumor, and I have no idea if it was true or not, that Deion Branch told Javon Walker not to come here because you'll never get the money. That's what I'm saying. If that type of thing starts happening, believe me, a lot of players in this league need to feed their kids. It's not just Deion Branch, and money is very important to these people.
All right, Neil is in Michigan. He's next up. I think that some people want to vent a little bit about the whole situation, so I'm going to get to some of these Branch things. I have to just say how very sad I am about losing Deion Branch. To me, it was like a kid's game of dare or double dare. Both sides up the stakes at so-called strategic times, and when the dust settled and cool heads prevailed, it will be clear to see that there really was only one loser, and that would unquestionably be the Patriots organization. I guess the press in Boston had alienated public opinion on Branch to such a degree that maybe many were glad to see him go. That both amazes and disgusts me. Fred, as much as I respect you and your opinions and your, quote, toe-the-company-line approach, end quote, your comments on Deion's greed on last week's show were way off base and biased beyond what should be expected. Teams have no compassion or honor when they release players from so-called contracts, so who can blame Deion doing what he thought was right by him? I have long been of the opinion that contracts in the NFL should be no different than any other and should be honored in full by both sides. How many times do we hear the well-worn phrase, it's a business? If you still doubt the validity of the argument, ask Bonnie Beisel how much of this so-called contract money the Patriots paid him last week. The compensation or first-round pick is little enough when you think he was a second-round pick with 4 years of coaching and salary invested in him, not to mention he was our best receiver and our franchise player's favorite target. I would not have expected to get any more than we did. I merely make the point that we have not gained from this trade, even in the first round of the draft, even if the first-round pick is a lottery pick. You only had to watch the Bills game to see the effect the receiver position is having on our team. To lose both your number one and two receivers without a genuine replacement is a serious error in judgment by the organization, and one which may well cost us dearly this season. I can only hope that Jackson and Gabriel can step up somewhat because Rishay Caldwell is at best a fourth receiver, which just leaves Troy Brown as our experienced wideout. He goes on and on. Hey, thanks, Neil. At the very end, he says, great to see Paul on Fox last week. Had to get that in, Tom. Thanks, Neil. So not everybody is slamming the Branch side. I purposely read that one because I knew what this next one is from Cecilia in Boston. And this is the other angle here. So I'll read this one and then we can kind of comment on both. People, including analysts, media, especially those coming from outside New England, seem to think that the Pats organization is the lost party in Deion's situation. I actually agree with Coach Belichick. The Patriots did what is best for the team, given what they believe to be the best for their system and the circumstances. How would you like to keep a player who doesn't even want to be on the team anymore? I think it's a win-win situation. Deion gets his money, and the Patriots get to maintain their integrity, get a first-round pick, which they have the option to use to trade for another player or draft a good player in 2007, and get rid of the distraction. Now they can focus on and get better with the players on the team. I thought that the things that Deion said about the trade are conflicting. He said it's not about the money. No, he didn't. At the same time, he said he has to take care of his children and family, which is all about the money. I added in the no, he didn't. He said it wasn't all about the money.
Right.
He said it was. He admitted it was about the money, and he admitted such by saying the children. So that's just a little bit of a. I wanted to make a clarification there. And he's eating his own words from his speech in the Super Bowl MVP ceremony about how much he loves to stay with the Patriots in the future. I hope at least he learns from this experience. Question, what exactly did the Jets violate in the trade negotiation that makes the Patriots file charges against them? Do you think that the Patriots have a strong case for it? And that's Cecilia in Boston. I'm going to get to that in a second, but I wanted to comment kind of on the two schools of thought, because that's basically all the emails we're getting about Branch fall in one of those camps
right.
or the other. So I don't think, you know, as is often the case in these kinds of things, Tom, there's probably some validity on both sides. I don't think it was all Neil, and I don't think it was all Cecilia. I think there was a little bit of
middle
ground, common ground. Yeah. How do you feel?
Well, see, it's tough because I hate the argument.
You hate everything.
Well, I hate the argument that, well, these guys, what's the difference between $2 million and $3 million? Well,
$1 million.
Yeah, that's what these guys are worth.
A lot.
And they say, well, you always say, Paul, about Brewski, how he likes it here, and, you know.
It's great for him.
Listen, I absolutely love it here. I love everything about it. But let's say, like, I made $40,000 and someone offered me $70,000 to do the same thing, but I had to move and everything. That's not in Branch's league, but that's something in my life I would have to consider.
But percentage-wise, it is.
Yeah, it's $30,000 more for me and my wife. And even though I love where I am, I have to consider that. So I don't like Branch using the I have to raise my kids thing, because I think that doesn't sit well with the general public.
Well, yeah, anytime you make those kinds of comments, it's not going to play well, but I think there's some validity to it.
Right.
He didn't say, see, I'd rather hear him say that than say it wasn't about the money.
Right.
Because they all say it's not about the money, and I think Cecilia's right. It's always about the money. Of course it is.
It is about the money, and I don't think average people like us can say, well, what's the difference between $7 and $8 million? Well, in their world, that's what they're worth. That's
See, I could go out and say, what's the difference between $41 and $42 million? But you want to say that a guy making $1.045 million, what's the difference between that and $2 or $3 million? A big difference.
Yeah. And so it's hard to get on Branch over that. I understand he wasn't a free agent. The only part I'm kind of confused on about this whole thing, and I wasn't here at the time, so maybe you can shed some more light on it.
Probably not.
Is the part that where he's confused about the contract. He thought it was 4 years. It ended up being 5 years. That's the part I'm
he
not quite on.
He maintains that, and there's some question about that. You know, there's been some reports about that. When he was a rookie, he thought that they had agreed to a deal in principle for 4 years, and because of that, he agreed to come out for minicamp without being under contract. Now, this is the mandatory minicamp, not the rookie minicamp. Now, they're all out there for rookie minicamp without contracts, but usually by minicamp, in training camp, they're signed, and he thought he was out there with an agreement in principle. Then he claims, and this is his claim, not mine, his claim, that he went out there and basically they saw how good he was and they demanded that it was a 5-year deal. And basically at that point, you kind of got, you know, the player really doesn't have much leverage at that point. He's not going to be able to hold out without a dime to his name as a rookie. So that's Deion's stance, and I'm not saying that he's right. Matter of fact, I've been told by people in the organization he's not right on that. But, you know, I don't know what the
yeah,
truth
that part
is.
Just, I just don't understand it. You have to know what you're signing.
Well, no, he knew he was signing a 5-year
right.
deal. He's saying he thought he had an agreement for a 4-year deal, went out on the practice field, proved how good he was, and they demanded it to be a 5-year deal. You know, he didn't sign what he thought was a 4-year deal. he says that they changed it after the fact on him and basically forced him to sign a 5-year
deal. He should have held out then.
Well, that's right. It's just a lot harder to hold out with no leverage. It was hard enough to hold out with the little leverage that he had this time around.
But, Paul, let me ask you this, too. Now, the Patriots did what they thought was best for the organization. But in doing so, they kind of gave Branch's way. So the next time someone's unhappy, knowing that Belichick and Pioli don't want to put up with this kind of garbage and will do what's best for the organization. Because, listen, Deion Branch doesn't give a darn that they got a first-round draft pick for. He doesn't care what the Patriots get. He's gone now. He's got his money.
Right.
So knowing that the players only care about themselves, the next time someone's in this situation, do you think an agent's going to say, listen, these guys, they're not going to put you on the inactive list. They're just going to trade you anyway. So hold out. And that's the one thing
point.
I'm worried about that the Patriots...
The players now think
there.
They can get their way if they hold their breath long enough.
Right.
That's a concern. I don't know. We'll have to find out. I think it's like anything else. You have to treat these cases individually, you know. Seymour held out last year, and they acquiesced and gave him a little bump in pay, and then they rewarded him with a big-time contract extension. They didn't do the same thing for Branch. So I think you have to look at it individually and see, you know, where it all ends up. But to the last part of Cecilia's thing about this whole tampering charge, the Patriots, according to several sources, have indeed filed tampering charges against the Jets. They claim that the Branch camp only had permission to seek a contract with another team, not a trade. They feel that the fact that Jason Chayot was involved had knowledge of what the trade market was allowed them to hold the upper hand in their negotiations with the contract and with the Patriots. My question to that, Tom, would be, in the statement the Patriots released, it said Deion Branch has been given permission to seek a trade
right.
and a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Trade was specifically mentioned
yes.
in the release that they sent out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why it would have been reasonable to expect that Jason Chayot would not have had any knowledge of what the trade market was.
You know what I didn't understand about this either? It sounds like something kind of like in the Branch, what Branch tried. It sounds like something the Patriots aren't going to win. And all it does is linger. Let's just put this to bed, as Bill said last week. Let's put the hay in the barn and
I agree.
Let's
if you don't
it
know
to
it,
bed.
You know,
there's no, now you're fine. For what? It's just going to drag this on longer. Deion Branch is gone. Move on with your team. Worry about scoring, you know, more than 17 points against a terrible football team. That's what I think the Patriots should be worried about instead of, you know, what's going on with Deion Branch.
Right. And on the flip side of that, now the Branch camp has made some noise that Belichick actually talked to Branch, and Belichick and Pioli tried to urge Branch to fire his agent so they could get this done. And if that's the case, they're not supposed to really have any direct dealings with the player during negotiations when he's represented. And at the same time, it's could definitely be perceived as being a violation of the CBA
right.
of him, you know, trying to convince the player to fire his agent. So the Players Association isn't happy about that. So that might be something else to keep an eye on.
I'm saying,
and I agree
like
with you, it just lingers.
Keep lingering on. Let's just get on with the season. This is one bad thing after another for the Patriots so far this year.
I think they'd
the
be best served.
And everything else.
Yeah, best served to just put it to bed. And as Steve Belichick said, you know, the hay. What'd you say? They put the hay in the barn.
Put the hay in the barn.
Mike is next up. He has the Deion quote here saying, to hold out against an organization like the Patriots, it can't just be about money. Money's always involved because this is a business. But to go through this and stay strong, money can't be your main purpose. And Mike says, what does this mean? Are players starting to get tired of what appears to be the arrogance of the Belichick way? As some of us fans are, yes, we are successful, but so weren't the 49ers, the team Kraft has tried to emulate. And while they also had to make tough personnel decisions, they were also known as a very tight, open, and generous organization. DeBartolo always said it was a family. I get the feeling the Pats are all about business and could care less about family. This indifference toward players and this super secrecy about everything to the fans and media will become our downfall.
Well,
interesting.
I mean, I think if we... could give one negative about Bill Belichick, it would probably be he's not a people person. he's not going to hold a
certainly
family...
not with people that he doesn't really, really trust.
Right.
He
doesn't know
very well.
He's not going to hold a family picnic for the employees and the team. He's not Mike McCarthy. He's not going to tell everyone to go home at 1 o'clock on Friday so they could be with their family.
So they can lose 26-0 in the opener.
That's not going to happen here. But, you know, I think, and I'm not trying to jump to conclusions, but this now appears to be the second person who really wanted out. Because we all know Vinatieri wanted out in the worst way, yeah. The worst way. And now Branch is insinuating it's not just about money. I just didn't want to really play here anymore. To me, that's a little concerning because you're talking about two players that helped the Patriots win Super Bowls who really didn't want to be here anymore. And, you know, we can throw even on top of that, even though I think this was more piling on, McGinnis' comments about blah, blah, blah. I think he was just more grandstanding and piling on, but there's three guys now, and you never know. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. Ryan is next up. Ryan's in London, England. What do you guys think about Tully Bantakane's performance on Sunday? Also, perhaps Belichick thinks the Pats are too incomplete to win the Super Bowl in 2006 and is waiting to add key veterans this offseason. If this is true, which receivers and linebackers will be available? Alternatively, how deep is the coming draft for those respective positions?
It's
way too early to tell.
It's too early. I've seen some linebackers and defensive players that I like, but it's like Paul said, it's way too early to tell. Lance Briggs for Chicago is a free agent. It's hard to imagine that they're going to part with him.
I was going to say he's a free agent, you know, theoretically.
Yeah,
you know, don't know if he's
going to
be
imagine he's even going to hit the market. That's the one name I've heard of. What was the other part of his question? I forgot. What did he start off with?
I deleted it.
I had some kind of comment.
Oh, Tully Bantakane. Performance on Sunday.
Well, you should ask Andy about him because he knows everything about Tully. But I'm kind
of... Tully was very quiet for the majority of the game, but then he did make a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter, one of which led to the safety for Ty Warren.
Yep, forced J.P. Lausman.
Came out in the next series and had a big stop of McGahee, I think, for a two-yard loss. So, showed some flashes, kind of like Tully's been, you know, throughout his Patriots career. There's some flashes, but not enough.
Kind of a C. I'd give him a C, probably.
Gentleman's C.
But I kind of felt all along that this is kind of maybe a rebuilding on the run project by Belichick. I think maybe he looks at his division, says, we can probably win this thing. We have enough core players where we can compete for a title, and we'll kind of rebuild on the run here and maybe make a real strong push next year when it comes to free agency. Now they've acquired all these draft picks. So I wouldn't say that that's totally unfounded.
Yeah, Eli has a quick question here. Now that Branch is gone, how does that affect the roster? Are they just 52 men, or was he counting against the 53-man limit, or was he on some special exempt status? Does this mean they'll bring Jonathan Smith back in, or in about a week would they look around to somebody else, Charles Rogers or Watts or someone? He did not count on the 53-man roster, Eli. He was on the reserve, did not report list, so they... in essence, had 54 men on the roster, one of which was not active in Deion Branch. So they don't have any openings on the roster right now. But they could be given Jonathan Smith. We know he's still here.
Yeah.
well, I shouldn't say that he's still here. He was here on Sunday.
Right.
Now, you could make an argument that, you know, both of his, you know, teams were here. So, you know, maybe he just stuck around. But I think there might be something more to that, and we'll have to keep an eye on that. Let's see. Who do we have next? Tony. Tony says, we got nobody to catch the ball. but we have draft picks. I know this is jumping ahead a bit, but I'm curious. Just what do we have for draft picks in 2007 after all this trade activity? Are there any worthwhile wideouts available that you think the Patriots would consider? Would they use the newly acquired draft picks to obtain a wideout? And just where is all that leftover cap money going? I still believe in the Patriots system. I'm just trying to understand it. A hometown Pats fan stranded in the breeding hills of Joise.
That's the way he wrote it. Well, there is one guy, and the New England fans would go nuts because he's white, and we all know who he is. He's from Notre Dame, Jeff Samardzija. My nightmare would be him coming here just because of the whole, you know. But he's a guy coming out. It's so hard to start about that. I mean, Mel Kiper, he has like a top 20 right now, and there's a chance that 14 of those guys won't be in his top 20 when he puts it out towards the draft. It's just way too early to see who's coming out, who's going to have a big year. You know, Samardzija could break his leg this week, and then boom.
Right. And much like there was so many things that we saw in the NFL on Sunday, first week, that, you know, stunned us. I mean, who thought, just like Belichick said in his post-game press conference, I mean, who envisioned the Patriots being behind 12 seconds into their season? You know, there's so many things that can happen you just don't plan for. Right now, all the college teams are all developing, too, and you don't know exactly what roles you know, everybody's going to end up in. Samardzija is a big-name guy that we know because Charlie's at Notre Dame, and he's out there. We love the kid from Georgia Tech. Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson.
You know, he'll love him. You know, he's going to be a, you know, top half of the first-round guy for sure. So there's guys out there. In terms of overall draft picks, I'm not positive on this, but I think they're down. Those three trades they made, Patrick Cobbs was released, so I don't think they get anything for him either. So you're down to basically just Brandon Gorin. You're going to get a conditional draft pick, which is probably going to be a sixth or seventh rounder at best. So not a whole lot else in terms of that, aside from this first round pick that you get from
Branch. The compensatory picks, as you brought
up.
But as you brought up, not all those guys are compensatory picks.
No.
Like I think
McGinnis doesn't get McGinnis you anything because you released him.
Right. So, and if Givens doesn't perform any better than he did in week one, I wouldn't be expecting a high draft pick out of that either.
Right, but I mean, Givens, Vinatieri, you know, Matt Chatham, Christian Fourier, Tim Dwight even, Andre Davis, all of those guys potentially could get you picks, but it never works. You're not going to get them all.
Right.
It all depends on how much they play and how much you lose, how much you gain, blah, blah, blah. You know, when it's all said and done, there's a formula at the NFL doesn't seem fit to share with anybody, and we have no way of knowing for sure. Phil in Austin, Texas, next up, has a personal conspiracy theory on the Deion trade. Jason Chayot never stopped working this deal with the Jets in Seattle, even after the deadline passed. Maybe that's why the grievance was filed. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of this. Maybe that's where the Patriots are feeling like there was some dirty play involved. He says once they put a number one on the table, the Patriots probably were forced to make the deal. If they had refused, Chayot might well have won that grievance case, and Branch would have become a free agent, which is a possibility. But I don't think he would have become a free agent.
No, I don't think so.
The Patriots, upset at being forced into this deal in the first place, responded by filing tampering charges against the Jets. Question, can the Patriots take credit against the salary cap for the amount of Deion's fine? I don't think they get for the fine, but obviously they get the cap space for his salary that they didn't have to pay him. So they return that.
Right.
Even if he held out and they didn't have to pay him all those checks, they would have gotten salary cap relief for that, but they don't really need it because they have plenty of space. it's going to be interesting, but that's the one email, that one comment that we got so far that I think that's a legitimate possibility. Maybe there was some tampering after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after that window had supposedly closed, if Chayot continued to negotiate, maybe that was perceived to be the violation.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, other than that, I'm at a loss to really understand.
Yeah, I don't really get all the legal stuff. I just know Branch is in here, so they'll have to make do with what they got.
All right, Ray is next up, and he says, well, we squeaked by in that one. Aside from the pain of watching the first half, that touchdown drive was pretty solid, though. It was a good game to watch from simply an entertainment vantage point. I'm still optimistic about the season. Wins like that test the team's grit. I like how they responded. Tell me what you think. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the following aspects of the game. Tom, I'll read them. I'll let you go. Defensive secondary.
Thumbs up.
I agree. Overall discipline. Penalties, missed blocks, tackles, etc.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, I'd say penalties were excellent, but the rest of them, I thought there was a lot of missed blocks and a lot of poor tackling, especially early. Play calling, McDaniels was calling the plays, no?
Thumbs down, especially in the first half. Made some adjustments in the second half. I thought more draws and screens to Schoble's side would have served them well because he was just coming right up the field at Brady.
No concern that they were kind of snuffing those screens out by knocking a lot of them down?
Yeah, maybe. I thought it took them a little bit too long to adjust, but in the second half, things kind of, I mean, plus, that's a tough one because you don't know, like, where the guys, who does he have to work with, you know? I mean, even Garrett Mills wasn't out there,
I'm a little more forgiving on the play calling for that reason. Linebackers.
Um, I'll say thumbs up.
Yeah, I go thumbs up. I mean, 99 yards of rushing, come up with a big stop on the fourth down that you need. Special teams?
Thumbs up.
I agree. Fans?
Thumbs down.
I agree.
And listen.
There was a lot of booing in that game. And I know that the Patriots didn't play well, but, I mean, that was just a, you know, the crowd was a non-factor in a home game in the season opener.
Right, and we're not going to go into this.
No, I'm not. I don't want to get into it.
But it's just there was just hardly any noise whatsoever. It's just unacceptable.
Jerron's called to go for it on fourth and one.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs way up from me as well. Also, I wanted to point out that I felt the passing woes were more a result of sloppy line play early than our paucity of wide receivers, and that's from the Reverend Ray. Ray, I agree 1,000%. Yeah, Tom and I talked about that just before the show started. I agree. There's been a lot of talk about how no one was getting open, but when you have, less than 2 seconds to find someone, you know, Randy Moss ain't getting open in that amount of time.
Well, you saw it last night when Aaron Brooks was getting killed. It doesn't matter how good Randy Moss is, he can't get open if you only got 2 seconds to throw the football, and that's what Brady was going through in the first half. I mean, from the opening play, he was getting just 2-3 seconds at the most. It's hard to get open in that when you don't have time to throw the football.
All right, got a few more emails here before we get ready to take a break. Andy Hart will be down in a little while, hopefully, if he doesn't blow me off. David is in Storrs, Connecticut. For the life of me, I cannot understand what the Patriots did throughout this offseason. I think that every possible personnel decision they made backfired on them. If they had been able to keep Givens into a branch, they could have a Super Bowl-caliber club right now. It seems that every time this team has taken a step forward in one area, they take a larger step back in another. Imagine if the Pats had this offensive line and running game last year. They would have been favored to win it all. That's what I find so frustrating about all of the recent events.
And here's the question I'll pose. The Bills ranked last in rush defense last season. Now, they might not rank last this year, but I'm just going by from what they
ranked. They ain't
going
to be far away based on what I saw the other day.
Now, suppose you start playing a good defense that shuts the running game down. Now what happens? You know, that's what I'm interested in seeing. Like, the Jets got some good, you know, front seven. Jets are pretty solid. So if the Patriots don't get those huge runs, it's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, I think the whole world knows it's time for 39 to be in there full time.
Well, it was funny because we were on one of those message boards during the game halfway through the first quarter, Tom, and a thread started and said, what did it say? Maroney is the starter, period.
Yeah, Maroney is the starter, period.
So, the fans obviously
To be honest, I thought it was going to take the fans 2 to 3 weeks to turn.
I think that that's one major positive that came out of the game. I think that they really had a solid 1-2 punch. I thought Dylan ran well. I'll give him his props. I know that Buffalo's not strong against the run, but he ran well nonetheless. And they were able to pick up big chunks of yardage. I just like Maroney. I think he's a lot more impressive.
What I feel like? I feel like at the end of the game when Dylan was running, that's his time. You know, clock killing Corey Dillon. But every time they gave him the ball, I felt like his 5-yard gain would have been an 18-yard gain with Maroney. I just think the guy is a special talent, and you can't keep special talents on the sideline.
Hey, Jeffrey is in Hawaii, Tom. Hawaii. Here's the list of Belichick Pioli first-rounders. Seymour, Graham, Warren, Wilfork, Watson, Mankins, Maroney. When the Seattle GM rationalizes overpaying Branch with, quote, 50% of all first-round picks don't pan out, quote, it just doesn't fly when you have a competent front office. I loved Branch, but this was a winning deal for the Patriots. I don't really understand his point. He's saying the Patriots' percentage is more than 50%?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay, so what does that mean?
That they made out because they have 2 number one picks. So.
So what if you miss on them both? Doesn't matter what the previous 5 or 6 did. What if you miss on the both?
Well, he's saying that the Patriots are better than 50%, so they have a better chance of getting good players.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Patriots, well, I'm not going to argue with that. I know that it's just the company line to say that they're smarter than everybody
else.
If you think
Daniel Graham where they picked him turned out to...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean...
Daniel Graham was supposed to be Jeremy Shockey. He's not even in his league. I don't care what you tell me about him staying in and blocking. I watched him his entire career at Colorado. He did not stay in and block. The guy was a receiving machine. He's not that in the NFL. Does not work as a first-round draft pick for me. Sorry.
So he also says, wide receiver is not a primary money position in our system. Again, I loved Branch, but he's not Brady or Seymour. How many guys have to depart New England before the pundits stop raking the Pats over the coals for moving on from a player or his contract demands?
Well, apparently the only two guys who are Brady and Seymour are Brady and Seymour.
It's true. That's true. But I haven't really read a lot of critical stories.
I think ESPN's been pretty critical. Like,
okay,
the guys,
so nationally. And Jeff is in Hawaii, too,
right,
so
I think
he might be getting a little bit more
of a
national
approach.
I think a lot
of people watch ESPN, and then that's where they form their media opinions. I don't think locally it's been bad, but ESPN, a lot of the guys have been saying the Patriots.
And which is
really
funny, too, because when you look at ESPN, especially when you have that bevy of ex-players that I don't think a single one of them does any real homework. I particularly disregard their opinions when they're talking about decisions. Now, if they're talking to me about football or something, they're breaking down some sort of play or whatever, then that's different. Then I respect a football player's opinion on that. But I don't necessarily respect an ex-wide receiver telling me that, you know, they should have paid more money for the wide receiver that departed.
Right, and it's funny because Mike Golic told me the Bills were going to be running the 3-4 all offseason, and I watched the game on Sunday, and there they were in the 4-3.
Even when they had seven starters on the bench, they still never lined up in a 3-4. Bradley is in St. John, New Brunswick. Long time, no type. I see what he did there. I've been listening, though. All you guys picked Dallas to beat Jacksonville last week. Am I the only guy that remembers how much Drew Bledsoe sucks?
Apparently.
He looks okay in the first quarter, then he goes in the tank. Did you see the last interception? Not a Cowboy receiver on the screen. Well, that's funny because if you're going to criticize his three interceptions, the only one that he doesn't deserve any criticism for is the last one. The first two were far, far worse plays and completely ridiculous throws and decisions by Bledsoe. The last one was just a Hail Mary heave. As for Branch, a greedy idiot. Couldn't he play for $1.05 million this year? It would take me over 20 years to make that.
Here's, who cares?
Tom's, that's what you
I
get.
Don't care how long it takes you to make it. You're not an NFL football player. The hopes and dreams of millions of people aren't riding on you like they were on Branch when he played the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So shut up and don't bring up that point again.
That's Tom Casale. I hope he likes being a Super Bowl less in Seattle for the rest of his career.
Yeah, because Seattle never goes to the Super Bowl. Like,
now correct me if I'm wrong, but the Patriots were in the Super Bowl last year, right? Well, am I wrong on that?
I got to say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to...
Oh, the Patriots didn't go to the Super Bowl last year, and Seattle did?
That's one of the five worst emails we've ever gotten on this show. Geez.
Make it a little bit longer time before you type again. I'm just kidding. Andy Hart down here just seemingly ready to eat some potato chips and do very little of anything else. But it is nice to see him down here. How's SPFW going? You all done? No. Okay. Anyway, Andy, obviously lots of Branch talk, so you'll be able to get into that with Tom in a few minutes when I get out of here. I'll give one more email here to Jeremy in Newmarket, New Hampshire. I just wanted to get your thoughts on our rookie kicker, Gostkowski. I was impressed with his kickoffs, as I believe every single one went a few yards into the end zone. His field goal, of course, helped us win the game. His field goals, he wrote. He only had one. Helped us win the game. So far, so good for the rookie. P.S. I'm glad that Branch is gone. Maybe we'll get a stud in next year's draft. Any chance the Seahawks tank and go 6-10?
Well, like I said, if they don't play any better than they did in Detroit, yes.
Yeah, if they play like that. Much like the Patriots, I think if those two teams continue to play like that, I think you're talking about two good first-round picks next year.
And as far as the kicker goes, if he ever misses one, I'll let you know. He's perfect so far.
He's been tremendous.
Someone who never misses.
You know, I made the comment the other day that if you would ask the Patriots brass what the perfect start to his career would be, they just got it.
Yeah.
You know, they had it.
They drew it up.
You know, Vinatieri leaves. They have Gramatica and Gostkowski in camp. They both kicked, in my opinion, very well during camp in the practices, in the preseason games. They opted for the rookie. I think it was the right call. He's continued to kick well. So far, he has done nothing that could even the biggest Patriots basher in the world, he's done not one thing to give an ounce of ammunition for anybody. I think that's the perfect, if you couldn't draw it up any better for the Patriots.
No, and Andy Hart was pointing out that Vinatieri had a bunch of field goals at Windy.
Including a 49-yarder, by the way. How about the fact that on 4th and 2, I'll bring this up before I get out of here. I'll let you guys deal with it. On 4th and 2 with a 19-17 lead late in the game from the 26-yard line, Patriots did not opt for the field goal and instead went for it. Was that a lack of faith in Gostkowski?
No.
That's what everybody said it was with Vinatieri after Vinatieri didn't re-sign last year.
I'm always in favor of that call.
Of course it was. You're going for the throat. You get the first down.
Game's over. Just, if anybody in Buffalo criticized the Geron call, they should probably be fired. Because if you can't get it, listen, the Patriots came out of that third quarter duller than they were in the first quarter. I mean, they had no bounce to them, nothing. Buffalo went down the field like butter on them. If they had gotten that one last yard and put that in the end zone, that game was over. And I'm the biggest Tom Brady guy there is. He wasn't bringing them back that day.
If it goes 24-7 there, then the running game can't be the focus that it was for the rest of the game.
And the Patriots just didn't have it.
And chances are you would have had a few more sacks in the second half I think they only threw it 12 times in the second half. They threw it 11 in the first and 12 in the second, 23 if I'm not mistaken total. So they would not have been able to play that conservatively if they were down 24-7 midway through the third quarter.
You knew when Brady hit the big third down to Ben Watson, it was all over but the crying.
Yeah, that was the only chance that the game wasn't over on the fourth down play is if Buffalo somehow could get him to go three and out and then get the ball back around midfield. And that was third and 10, I want to say.
It was.
And that's why the guy is the best. That's the pass that had to be made. It was absolutely perfect.
And I'd like to point out the people who wanted to cut Kevin Falk for Patrick Cobbs. Falk made a pretty nice play in that game, too.
That's true. All right, I'm going to step aside here. Jason can get ready to take a quick break. Andy Hart's going to take you through the last hour. We'll be back again. Don't forget, our weekly schedule is in place. Webradio at Patriots.com. If you want to talk to Andy and Tom in the second hour, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved
$2.25. Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. We lived these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
It's going to be sat, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
This
This is PFW in Progress.
Come to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Is that him?
I am in charge of this situation.
Oh, you're in charge. Well, I got some bad news for you. I'm not the one who just got butt-f***ed on national TV.
Brian Maury.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative. Not a lot to ask. So he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Paul Perillo.
Roy, you all right?
Just trying to fire down a thousand-year-old twink. What do they put in these things anyway?
Sugar-enriched flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, Holly sorbate 60, and yellow dye number 5.
And Andy. And Andy?
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9? Terrorists 6 or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Andy Hart.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Some guy named Tom.
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture. This is John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
PFW in progress.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Back here, PFW in progress, second hour. Of course, I'm Andy Hart, still joined by Tom Casale. Paul Perillo has gone off to flood the real radio airwaves with his babbling. We'll get to the point now on this radio show. We'll fly through these emails. No more Perillo babbling.
Quick God, he's gone. He was putting me to sleep.
Well, that's good to know. We're going to liven it up a little here. The A-Team second hour. I'm sure much of the talk today, or just about all of it, has been on the Dion Branch trade, the ramifications, maybe in the New England locker room with some of the comments from Richard Seymour.
Yeah, we did talk about Seymour.
And I thought that was very interesting.
We talked. I also asked, and I'll get your opinion on this, about the overall effect of this. We heard Keyshawn Johnson mention the $5 a day comment, and he has close personal friends with this organization. There's a rumor that Branch said to Javon Walker, don't come here, they won't pay you. Don't know whether it's true or not, but it's out there. You now have two major contributors to this team who were running for the door. Adam Vinatieri and Deion Branch, who was insinuated that money wasn't everything in this. How do you think that that's going to play out in the future when it comes to people coming here? Because as Paul stated, it seems like the last 2 years, some of the free agents that they wanted, they didn't get.
Right. Yeah, there's no question. There are guys on the list, and, you know, Derek Mason's one. I know his wife kind of played a role in that scenario. But there's been guys, Keyshawn, I agree with you, to have someone like that who has a personal relationship with major members of this organization to be taking kind of little shots from afar like that. I even think, to some degree, Tom Brady's comments last week about, you don't come here to feel a lot of love from the head coach or make the money. You come here to win. Well, sooner or later, if you don't win a couple years in
that's
a row,
right,
no one comes here.
And you missed a good email about someone talking about the 49ers and how DeBartolo had them as like a family. And I said, well, if you were going to say one negative about Belichick, it's probably he's not a people's person.
Right.
We're not all going to get huddled around at family picnics. He's not Mike McCarthy. He's not giving us the weekend off. He's here to win football games. He's cutthroat, and that's just the way it is.
And in the long run, first of all, I just want to say, I'm sure you guys have already talked about it, but just to get kind of my opinion out there, I think they got a good deal for Deion Branch. You got a first-round pick, and that's good. For the future, that is tremendous.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help you this fall catching passes from Tom Brady.
Right.
That first-round pick can't go out there and catch passes.
And
right now, it's something on paper for the future.
And I remember back in the, you know, back in the Cowboy days when Alvin Harper had gone and they had never really filled that role. And I remember Aikman kind of said once, are they ever going to give me another receiver? I feel like at some point Brady's going to get so frustrated where he's going to say, who do they want me to throw the ball to?
Right. And this has come together as, you know, to use Bill's own term from the other night when he talked about the passing game, the perfect storm, I think, because you let David Givens go. He got more money than you were willing to go to. Maybe you didn't think the Deion Branch situation would get this serious. You probably thought, oh, we'll get at least another year out of him. Then
Chad
maybe we
Jackson.
Really have. We got Chad Jackson. Well, you don't, and you don't.
Right.
You know, Chad Jackson may or may not be on the field this week. He was able to practice last week, but clearly wasn't ready to go for the game, was inactive. So you have nobody. If you had any one of those, you might be looking pretty good. Because now you have,
One of those guys, Troy Brown, Richey Caldwell, Ben Watson, all the other things people talk about. But you got none of them.
Right. You have Troy Brown as your number one receiver.
Right.
This is a guy in February we were discussing of whether or not he was going to come back.
Right.
And he's the number one receiver.
And I love Troy Brown. And I think he still has the hands. I think to some degree he can still get open. He runs great routes. Right. But
not against
he's not
Champ
a number
Bailey.
One. Right. You know, you don't. Champ Bailey might just take the game off because he's got nobody to cover. I mean, do they put him on Watson?
And that's the thing, too. Like, now Watson is expected to have this breakout year, but if the receivers can be covered one-on-one by average corners, then you can double-team Watson and take him out of the game.
And I honestly believe he probably will have a breakout year. He'll probably put up 50 catches or whatever, career numbers, and have some really big games where he has 6 or 8 catches, 130. But is it enough to overcome absolutely nothing at wide receiver? Because that's essentially what you got in the first game. Nothing.
Yeah, and I remember saying in a previous issue of Ask what do we write? Patriots Football Weekly.
A lot of them. Ask PFW.
That Richey Caldwell would catch 60 passes. Well, I was way off. He's caught 2.
He's on pace for 32 right now.
I'm 58 behind, and I'm hoping to get half that.
But he thought he had a good game. I mean, I talked to him after the game. He said he thought he played okay. Obviously, he knows he has to work on some things. But he wasn't down on his performance. So maybe that'll grow, and maybe, you know, on the other end, by the end of the year, maybe you're getting 6-8 a game, and maybe you'll be right at the end.
Well, they're going to need it.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is, I also believe from Deion Branch's perspective, this trade couldn't have worked out any better. Because he goes to a team with a good offense where he just has to fit in.
Right.
That's a Super Bowl-level offense. He doesn't if he had gone to the Jets, well, Jets even, but some teams, you know, usually when these work out, a guy goes to a team that is in desperate need of a receiver.
Right.
Almost the Patriots right now. And the spotlight is just on the guy. I don't think Deion Branch is going to face that. He's going to get his money. He's going to go there, fit in with a decent receiving core that has a great running back, a very good tight end. I think he'll probably put up numbers. You know, I know they got a 2-week roster waiver. They don't have to activate him for 2 weeks from the league. But I would assume within the next couple weeks, he's a smart guy. He learns the offense, and I fully expect to see him out there catching 5 or 6 balls.
And let me, I asked Paul this. Do you think because the Patriots are all about business, now Deion Branch does not care that the Patriots got a number one draft pick for him.
Right.
He just cares about his money.
He got his money. Right.
So do you think this sets a bad precedent for the future, knowing agents can say to their players, listen, the Patriots, they're gonna go about their business. They're not gonna have you linger around. So do you think in the future other players are gonna follow this, knowing that the Patriots will do what's best for them, and then you'll end up getting what's best for you?
Maybe. You know, it certainly didn't play out well for the Patriots in terms of that. They allow him to go seek a trade, which in my mind was a mistake. That I truly believe that was a mistake to allow him to go find money and seek a trade. He found two teams willing to give him money and two teams willing to start the bidding process in a trade relatively high. You know, when you're talking about a second round pick, well, you're only one little give in negotiations away from being a first round pick. You know, it's not like they started with, we'll give you the Eagles type trade. We'll give you a third or a fourth and a player. They started at second, so there's not a huge jump there to get to one.
So why don't you talk to the Saints front office and let them know how this works? It was kind of like, I know you don't watch Seinfeld, but with Kramer with the coffee thing, they were going to offer him a lifetime supply of coffee and $100,000, and they started with the coffee, and he said, I'll take it. That's what the Saints did.
That sounds like the Saints did it. And so, you know, it worked out in the end, but you're right, it could set up. Everybody was worried that, do you set a precedent when you do a Richard Seymour where you bump him in pay, give him the extension, all that? Well, now do you set a precedent where if a guy holds out, you'll just trade him, give him what he wants, and he'll find his money with another team? So, you know, it's an interesting question, and to some degree it does.
And the one thing, there's two things I'm worried about from this whole thing. One, short term, how do the receivers shape out for this year?
Right.
Two, long term, do players want to play here anymore? Because not only are players not coming here, but the players that are here can't wait to get out.
I got to tell you, though, it can turn around in a hurry.
Oh,
and we've seen it before.
Hurry.
And, you know, this team might win games this year. But if the offseason, if they go out and sign Roosevelt Colvin, you know, a player of that caliber, that year they went out and they targeted Roosevelt and said, you know what, he's one of the top free agents and we're going after him. If they go out and sign him and then use the 2 first-round picks or trade up with the 2 first-round picks, and all of a sudden you say, well, in the long term, it worked out for them.
Yeah,
they didn't spend money they weren't willing to spend, and it worked out for them. Now, the other way, if they lose games this year and you struggle again, do you have to start overpaying players to come here because they think you're cheap and you're no longer the
three Super Bowl
champions.
Let's go there
to win a Super
right.
Bowl
you,
team.
Now, if you've lost and out a couple of years in a row, it changes the whole dynamic. So, yeah, I think it can be a slippery slope in either direction. But we'll get back to the emails. They're really starting to pile up. People are excited.
Day.
Lots
big
to talk
day.
About. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com if you want to join us. 508-543-7482, although I'm not sure the phone lines work. I talked to Gary earlier in the day, and apparently WEEI, beyond taking Paul off our hands, also screwed up the phone lines when they were here yesterday. So
two was a bad
one. Yeah, one for two. We'll make that trade. We'll trade Paul for phone lines. Webradio@patriots.com. Email us. That's the easiest way and probably the only way today. So Marco and your Belinda, did he just read this one?
I don't think so.
Okay. Hey, guys, I'm glad the Branch saga is finally over. I think the first-round draft choice was a good pick, considering the situation. What do you think about the Patriots asking the league to look into tampering charges? I kind of think the league will go into the motions, but nothing will come of it. It seems hard to prove a team tamper with a player unless you have physical evidence. I haven't written in a while and wanted to give a shout-out to the sheriff. Tom's been a great addition to PFW.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Andy,
and you're
we,
wrong.
We had kind of touched on this earlier. Get your thoughts. I don't just think that it's not really going to come of anything. I just want this whole thing to go away. Why keep dragging it on for, you know, put it through the legal stuff and all this? Just he's gone. He's not here. Let's try to win a Super Bowl. And
I think they're probably just trying to tweak the Jets a little. I think they were probably upset to some degree. Mangini and the Jets got involved. Well, you know what? We'll show you. I don't think they can win. I mean, the question I have is you say that they tampered by talking trade. The release you sent out said gave Deion Branch permission to seek a trade and a contract.
Right, and that's true. But one emailer emailed in with a very good point. The tampering could be maybe they negotiated after the deadline. Like they negotiated trades after the deadline. And maybe that's
think,
what they're, whatever it is, they're not going to win.
They're not going to win. And I don't even think, I think their argument was that by discussing what they were willing to trade, it influenced the Patriots' bargaining power or something. And I just don't think they can win in any way. It's just
I'd say just drop it and let's go.
Yeah, move on. Deion Branch, as Belichick said yesterday, move on. You know, let's put it to bed.
Put the hay in the barn.
let's go. Move on. You've traded him. Move on. All right. Sean and Hazleton checking in. Hey, Paul and Tom. It's Andy and Tom now. Paul's gone, thank God. Oh, geez, now he's just babbling about Paul. Paul, kudos to you and your work on EEI. Thought it was fresh. Fresh? Maybe when he started talking, but it was 2 years old by the time he finished his point. And Tom, not to leave you out, you've been a great asset to PFW. Why are we all over
thank you.
These guys today? Geez, I thought we had a little give and take here where we made fun of each other, not...
Well, I'm sure
all
people.
This praise.
I'm sure later on people will hate me. This guy just happens to be one of the few who likes me.
That's true. Paul, you brought up a great point, and I'm being called foolish for bringing. You brought up a great point, and I'm being called foolish for bringing it up. Do you think Brady is more hurt than we are led to believe?
Dr. Phil loves me.
He was just off Sunday. Don't know if it's protection or confidence in the receivers, or that he may be truly hurt. I'll be anxious to hear Brady at his press briefing tomorrow, and see if it's another Lawyer Malloy incident. I'm sad Deion is gone, but it's time to move on. By the way, please just keep Elevation as the TD song. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of negatives towards the TD song I'm hearing. A lot of negatives.
Well, yeah, a lot of
what
people.
What was wrong with 1812?
I'm just saying what I'm hearing. People didn't like it.
I got to be honest, I'm hearing the same things.
Yeah, and we are men of the people. So.
That's true.
I've heard something too, but it's not my call.
Whose call is it? Gary's? Should we rip Gary here while he's not here to defend himself? He's the director of in-game
take the fifth.
Whatever promotions or rip Gary.
Well, what was that email about?
Is Brady hurt?
Oh, that's he might have been hurt after the first play of the game because the Keo Spikes really laid a lick on him. And to be honest, he never really seemed to be into the game. I don't know if he got hurt on that play, if he admitted that the team was flat to come out. That's a tough one because you could say he was hurt, but he was also, he had about a second and a half to throw the football
right.
in the first half as well. So I think you'll get more of that as we get on if he's really hurt. Probably not. He threw a couple of nice passes there in the second half, and I was probably nothing to worry about.
Two things I'd say. First, he got hit hard twice early. Not only the Takeo Spike strip sack, but the screen pass he took a pretty good hit on. Which he has to sometimes. You have to hang in there on those screen passes because they're letting the rushers
free.
Me and
Paul said, he is tough. There's no doubt
about
that.
You can't question him at all. The only thing I would say is I went back and I started watching the game on TV, and they talked about the production meeting where Phil Simms sat down with Brady, and Brady said to him that this is the best his arm has felt in 6 years. And Fred Kirsch style, I go the other way. I assume if he's telling me how great his arm feels, it's bothering him and he's trying to cover it up. I really believe he has a long-term underlying minor injury. I'm not going to try and say Brady's hurt. Oh, my God. I think he has, whether it's just a dead arm that comes back every once in a while or some sort of tennis elbow, tendonitis type thing. I think he has a thing with his throwing arm and elbow that bothers him from time to time. And I don't think it'll be a big deal this year. I don't think any of his I think his ineffectiveness is the fact that he doesn't have any receivers right now. You know, that would take a lot of weight off his shoulders if he had David Givens and Deion Branch running routes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. And I think that'll put the spotlight on the passing game. And when he's off, people are going to say, well, is he hurt? He doesn't look as good. He doesn't have receivers.
And to add to your point, I think we've seen the last couple of years in Green Bay, when you have to put too much pressure on a quarterback without a lot of receivers, what can happen? I'm afraid that, I was saying to Paul, teams that shut down the running game, because let's be honest, the Bills are not the best run defense in the league. So teams that shut that running game down, is he going to try to do too much, force balls into areas where they're not there? I mean, the interception in the fourth quarter was maybe the worst pass he's thrown since I've been here.
I was going to say, you bring up a good point, because I would say Favre and Brady are as competitors on the same level.
Yeah.
You know, they do not want to give in to anything. And if you look on it even beyond that, Tom Brady has never been a guy, you know, people's always early in his career, he's a game manager. He doesn't throw the ball away that much.
No, he
has
doesn't.
A belief in his, more, I would say more his accuracy than just the straight
his
gun.
His pocket presence of keeping, like, just making like one or two steps to the side keeps plays alive.
But you don't see a lot of plays where he just gives up and throws it into the first row of the bleachers. So, you know, that'd be interesting. If he feels the pressure and feels like they're not moving the ball, will he start to force it, and will it adversely affect his production? That's something to keep an eye on as we move forward, because there's going to be times when this offense, in terms of the passing game, struggles.
Yes.
Especially if they can't get the 180 yards, 5-point whatever from the running game.
That, to me, was a discouraging thing about Sunday, was it's not like they were getting stuffed in the running game. They were plowing at 8, 9, 10 yards a carry, and they still couldn't get any openings in the passing game. That's one of the things that concerned me.
Jeff from Hawaii now checking in. What a bunch of flip-flopping saps. Word is getting around the league. Who cares? If money... Are you guys the flip-flopping saps he's talking about, I assume?
I don't know.
Is where I say, I wasn't here. I'm not a flip-flopping sap.
Probably the guy yelled at.
Word is getting around the league, Who cares? If money is all player cares about, and we are talking about the difference between being rich and being very rich, then the hell with that type of player. Give me the Brewskis of the world any day.
Great, there's one of them. Who else you want?
And this is not about just money. Wideout is not a position you overpay for a guy who catches 53 balls and scores 3.5 touchdowns a year. If they think Jackson is a better receiver down the road, then quit questioning this front office. How many mistakes have they made in these situations? What a bunch of whiners.
Well, first of all, this guy doesn't listen to the show, because I've been saying all along I wouldn't give Deion Branch that kind of money. So if you're going to rip somebody, at least listen to the show more than once a month. Because we have been saying all along that we would not pay Deion Branch that kind of money.
Right.
We were just bringing up we didn't say that it was happening. We were bringing it up as a question to talk about and for you guys to email in. Do you think this is something league-wide that could become a concern in the future? That's all we were saying.
Oh, and Tom, rich is rich. I hate the argument that someone making $30,000 a year is comparable to someone looking for a multi-million dollar bonus check. Quote unquote, in their world, perspective is often lost. Quit being an apologist by defending these multi-millionaires.
Well, I just think it's stupid.
I think it's stupid, too. And I also think it's stupid to say $1 million is the same as $39 million.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It's just stupid. I brought up this point. I said, I love it here, right? I love where I live. I love my job. I love all you guys. Let's say I make $40,000 a year, and then someone offers me $70,000, and I have to move and start all over again. I don't really want to. But that's something I have to consider for me, my wife, my
By the way, you didn't even multiply it times two. Deion Branch is multiplying it times 39. 39. And even if you want to say, you know, when I was listening in the background eating my potato chips, I heard a guy say, you know, he could have made $1 million this year. They're going to hand him a $13 million check
yeah.
that no one can ever take away from him.
Right.
That's $13 million in the bank.
I just don't care if you'd only make $28,000. I don't care. Because, listen, stop watching these guys then. Stop paying $300 for the NFL Sunday ticket. Stop. Some of you people have 20 NFL jerseys that cost $100 a piece. If you're whining about how much money they make, don't tell me to stop. You stop. Stop buying their merchandise. Stop buying the high ticket prices. Stop paying $50 to park. Stop doing all that, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Look at that douchebag. Mr. Kraft, that was Tom Casale. I'm Andy Hart, and I'm saying, keep buying PFW, keep buying jerseys, keep coming to games, keep parking, keep buying hot dogs. By the way, have you tried the Gridiron Grillers?
I said nothing about the hot dogs.
Mayor in Tampa, Florida, Sunday, passing game stinks. Monday, trade your best receiver. Does that make any sense? Guys, the Patriots are not that stupid. They have to feel that their receiving core is good enough to trade Branch. Remember, Gabriel and Jackson, eventual starters, did not play. Also, keep in mind they play Mangini's Jets this week, and they definitely didn't want to show much on offense.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with the line getting Brady killed, though. You know, I don't think Bill said, hey, you know what, let's pretend we have a bad offensive line. Tom can take the hits. So that's the thing I would be concerned about, is the way the Bills, you know, came around the edge. I mean, I don't want to pick on someone just to pick on them, but Matt Light played a terrible, terrible football game.
Just so you know, that's Matt Light being Matt Light.
I mean,
Schoble
was eating his lunch all day long.
It's not going to be the last time you see it this year.
And we can't have that. We can't have Tom Brady getting killed like that.
But this team re-signed Matt Light to an extension. They decided he was their left tackle.
But I'm just saying, despite Fred Kirsch in the press box saying, well, Matt Castle would have ran for a first down on that play, I don't want to hear that, because if Brady goes down, then the team goes down.
No, I'm just
we
saying,
all know that.
I don't think Matt Light had an overly bad game. I think Matt Light is Matt Light.
Well,
I just don't think Daniel Graham spent enough time next to him in that game. That's what you have when you face Schoble, when you face Taylor, if he still has it, who knows, Dwight Freeney. When you face these guys, Matt Light needs help. That's just the way it is.
And that takes another receiver out of the passing game.
Right. Yeah, and in this year when you're supposed to be using your tight ends as all your offense, now you got one who's playing tackle.
You know, I keep hearing like Jackson and Gabriel. I'm still concerned about how much of the offense they're picking up. I think the guy that could be big is Garrett Mills. If he can get on the field, he's been here since the beginning. He's your typical pass catching receiverish type tight end, and I think he's someone that could take some of the pressure off Watson and add another target in that passing game.
But the only problem there is you still face the Brady comfort, the Brady confidence,
I know.
The Brady
he's got to
trust.
Be comfortable with him.
All these guys are new. All of them. All the options. And sooner or later, I guess he's going to just have to bite the bullet and trust
a couple
of them.
If you're in a fantasy league, pick up Kevin Falk. He's about to go for 8 catches a game starting next week.
It's true. Sean and Hazleton again checking in. Paul, you and TC, a.k.a. Tom Curran, so he's not talking about you. We're talking about how this deal or something in the branch within a week. My question to you, do you, Mr. Kraft said, just send this, while maybe Belichick wanted to wait until the last possible minute? Also, why is the field looking like a Pop Warner league? I don't really understand the first part of your question, Sean. Sorry to be Fred Kirsch, but there's words missing. as for the second part, that's the way they want it. That's the way Bill Belichick wants his field. If you need proof of that, you need to look no further than the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium that they use every day that are in mint condition. The players have talked about it. It's like playing on a beach. There's a lot of sand on the field, but that's the way they want it, and I would assume that's the way it'll be right up until the time they host a playoff game and the league says change the field. Other than that, they get to choose, and that's what they choose. Okay, Dan checking. Oh, no. My bad. That was Dan Heffron's The Night Before Christmas from 2 years ago.
Oh.
I don't know why it's still in the inbox, but I won't delete it because somebody saved it. Jeffrey Simon. What a bunch of revisionist history. No one complained about these hard tactics when we were winning Super Bowls. God, I hate sentimental fans. Are fans not allowed to like players? Do you have to only like the team and the coach?
That's what's weird about this area. I've never been in an area where, because I saw people getting on Seymour for saying what he thinks, like giving his feelings. Like, has Belichick turned this into such a Nazi-like regime that when a player actually says what's on his mind, fans get on him.
Right.
We're talking about Richard Seymour. We're not talking about some defensive back who plays a little bit. Richard Seymour came out and said what was on his mind. And for me, I respect that. Now, whether or not you agree with it, it's one thing, but he just said, this is how I felt. Bottom line, move on. Do you think Richard Seymour is going to tank the rest of the season? Because I sure don't.
No.
And I found it shocking that no matter what player says anything, I just fans get all over him.
Right.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
Fans have all these comments and opinions of their own, but if a player chooses to voice what he feels, he's not supposed to. He's an idiot. He's a jerk.
I'll just bring up this. You know, you guys all, you know, you all side on with Belichick against any player. I was just wondering what his record was before Tom Brady came in.
Right.
Just I would to bring it up.
And because, you know, one of these emailers said, you know, what's his record in these types of things? They're not all perfect. Let's look. I mean, they've made decisions that haven't worked out perfectly. They brought in Monty Beisel.
They remember the good ones and not the bad
right.
ones. These they got more good than bad. Don't
no
get
question.
Me wrong.
No,
more
that's because they're smart football people.
Yes, very.
But it doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. Every genius in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
from Joe Gibbs to Vince, made mistakes.
Everyone.
And as a fan, if you want to analyze it, and I generally assume people that email our show and involve with us at Read Ask PFW, they want to try to look at the whole team, the whole game, the whole decision process, analyze it, and have opinion. If you're going to do that, then you have to say, is there a chance they screwed this up?
Right.
Because of the timing, because of what they have left, all of that. So, you know, if you want to just do the "in Bill we trust," that's fine. Move along. We can probably end the show now. And,
right.
and the bottom line is, "in Bill we trust." We don't need to discuss anything.
But when a man like Seymour, who says such few words and only talk, like you and Paul have always said to me, he only speaks when he has something to say, usually. And that to me, this is a little telling that he came out and made his voice heard on this situation.
Okay, Brian Bolu is checking in. Hey, boys. I think losing Dion will require an adjustment, but I think this team is one team that can move on. Isn't the perception on the team that Jackson and Gabriel are going to be the big receivers we're looking for? Well, I would say that's the perception.
Now, that's what we're hoping.
Is it going to be reality?
Yeah.
And is it going to be reality
soon.
This week, next week, next year, 2 years? I think we need to see them on the field before we can honestly say losing Dion has caused this team irreparable damage. I will miss Dion, but I cannot say at this point that we are in trouble. I think the poor play of the O-line impacted us much more than the lack of receivers, mm-hmm. as Brady had no time to throw.
Yes.
Having Dion on the sidelines could have gotten even more contentious week by week, and getting a first-round pick is probably the best we could have hoped for in the trade situation. Keep up the good work, boys. I agree with the O-line thing. The O-line struggled, especially in the first half.
Yeah, they got killed.
Balls were being mm-hmm. – Brady was getting hit, first of all. Then balls were just getting batted and knocked down.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they came together, played better in the second half. But I think the receiver situation is still a major part of that.
I'll even go a little further in the running game. Some of those Lawrence Maroney runs were made because he's Lawrence Maroney.
Right.
I mean, that guy is just a phenomenal football player. He'd go to the Pro Bowl if he started from now to the end of the season. I'd guarantee it. That's how good he is.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, Corey Dillon got 4.5 yards a carry. That O-line must have been dominating for Corey Dillon to get 4.5 yards a carry.
I was saying to Paul, I liked how they did it where Dillon played late in the game, the clock killing Corey Dillon. But I felt in the first half, some of his 5-6 yard runs would have been 18, 30 yard runs for Maroney. That's how explosive that guy is.
I got to tell you, I think if they can play anywhere near how they played on Sunday, this running game is going to be very good,
yes.
and it's very good for both of them. I think it's very difficult to be a rookie to come in and carry the ball 300 times in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I think
the
1-2 punch could be tremendous. I really do. I think it could really help this team and try to take some of the pressure off the passing game. Okay, he's done. Joe Houston. Hey guys, a few points on Dion. One, Dion is welcome to want more money, but I don't like how he and other players couch this in terms of taking care of their children. If we are talking about a player making $300K, I can understand it, but please, most people will provide for their children on a lot less money and not expect their children to be set up for the rest of their lives and not have to work. But the problem is, most normal people can't set their children up for the rest of their lives. These people can.
Mm-hmm. It's
different when it's not even when it's not even in our realm as normal human beings to say, you know what, I could do something that would set up my kids' kids. That's not part of our. But these guys, a smart guy like Dion Branch goes, you know what, maybe I didn't have a ton growing up, but I can set up future generations of my kids for life.
I understand. I just wouldn't say that publicly. If I was a player, I wouldn't go out right. and say, hey, I need to feed my kids, because it's making people who make $25,000 say, you need to feed your kids. You know,
right.
I got to work two jobs to feed right. mine.
And the only other thing I would say, just to back Dion a little bit, because I do like Dion. I think he's a very, you know, I agree with everything Seymour said. I was always impressed with the way he handled himself here. He does have a child, and I forget the exact disease. He has a child that's in a like a special care facility type place, and I'm guessing that's probably pretty costly to keep up with some of that. So it is a little bit different than just saying he has three kids that he's trying to feed. The Ty Law argument that they're taking, you know, he can't feed them with Super Bowl rings. But I give players credit. You know, if we're going to rip the guys who waste away $10 million signing bonuses and are broke in 5 years, I think we need to give some of these other guys who say, I want to set up my family for the next 2 to 3 generations a little bit of credit for being smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I generally think Dion's a pretty smart player. But this guy wants him to just say, you want the money. Well, they do. Everybody wants
he
the money.
He said it was more than the money. He said that.
Right.
He said it just, it wasn't just about the money. In other words, things happened somewhere along the line where he just didn't want to play here anymore.
Right. And I think everybody got the feeling as it went on that it was reaching that point and that Dion was not going to play here, and it was getting to the Adam Vinatieri point or whatever, where he was just looking for a way out, any way out.
Right.
Two, Dion was underpaid. There is no question. But Dion needs to remember that he also benefited by being picked up by the Patriots and brought into the Patriots organization. Where would he be if the Raiders had drafted him in the third round, not signing $39 million contracts? How do we know that?
I don't know.
Maybe he wouldn't be in the whoever's open system. Maybe they'd be throwing him the ball 20 times a game.
Don't they all want to trade for Porter? And he's with the Raiders.
Right. I think that's a piss-poor argument to say he was drafted here and he was made because he played here. How do we know he couldn't have gone anywhere else? Now, granted, if he had ended up with Joey Harrington or whatever, it wouldn't have worked. But maybe he ends up somewhere else and they say, you know what, he's tremendous. We got to get him the ball X number of times a game.
We'll see.
Maybe he'd have 1,200 yards and 100 catches every year.
I'll tell you what, we'll see, because the Seahawks certainly didn't sign him to be their slot receiver.
Right. And
I can tell you that.
I honestly don't believe that to be the case. I don't think he's an elite guy, but I don't also believe that the Patriots made him. I believe that guys come into this league. Richard Seymour, was he made by the Patriots, or is he the best defensive tackle in football?
Because
if you're going to use the argument with one, you got to use, if he hadn't played for Bill Belichick in this scheme, he would be nothing, right? He wouldn't be signing $30 million extensions. No way.
Well, it'll be an interesting contrast, because we have the Patriots, who we always say the scheme limits receivers. Now we got him going to Seattle, playing in the West Coast offense, where someone like him should shine.
No question.
So it'll be an interesting to follow this throughout the season and see how he does.
As soon as he learns that offense, I think he could have a lot of success there. Plus, Fred will be watching, because he likes Hasselbeck, and now Branch, he'll want to root against Branch.
Like Branch.
But, right. So,
when he sees him, he'll go, hi, Dion.
He probably would. Hey, we'll be in Seattle next preseason, right? Nice. Three, contracts are not the same thing as giving your buddy your word. They are work agreements, period. I work with contracts, although admittedly not NFL contracts, and it is common practice for us to write determination clauses that allow us to cancel contracts at any time and allow other parties to do the same. We modify the dollars involved all the time. We expect contracts to have to be changed. Nobody can predict the future, and contracts are written in understanding of this. The Ricky Williams case is different because the claim was that he signed the contract in bad faith. This is not part of the contract itself. Okay. Lastly, we really need linebackers. I agree we need linebackers here, but based on the game, I mean, I know they ran the ball a little bit, but, you know, I thought Colvin had a very good game, active. Tully Bantakane, while I'll still say he hasn't shown me a lot.
Someone asked what we thought of him. I gave him a C.
He was near J.P. Lossman before Ty Warren made the play that won the game.
He admitted
he went for the Lawrence Taylor tomahawk chop to try and get the strip sack. Unfortunately, he didn't do the wrap with the left hand.
But I think the thing is, when we talk about linebackers, we're not really worried about the starters. We're all right with them. It's if like now Brewski's hurt, what if something happens to Vrabel? You know, like, to me, he's the key guy.
You can't lose him.
If you lose Vrabel, you're in big trouble. So I think that's where the we need linebackers comes in is, right. You know.
But I'm tempted by Roosevelt Colvin, by seeing how active he was. He might continue to progress.
It started at the end of last season.
Yeah,
he could be one of those guys that really breaks out and has a dominant year.
As he said when I gave him a hard time about the fullback whiffing on him on the sack, well, that's just the elusiveness that is Roosevelt Colvin.
And I'm sure he said that.
Brian in Colorado. Wow, I don't know what he writes, a P.S. I can't read. While I can empathize with Seymour, who does he suggest the current team, including himself, does not deserve to be paid what they are worth? Oh, who does he suggest currently not? Well, first of all, there's $13 million that's not being eaten up on this year's cap, so it's not like they're up against the books. Patriots have a number of players to renegotiate contracts on. They spend all of their money every year on players within the negotiated cap limits. Seymour is not going to give up his security to ensure someone else's. Now, this does not diminish his personal loss or the loss to the team, and from what I can tell, Deion brought a lot to the table for the team and the community. But at some point, both sides have to decide what their salary ceiling is and make a choice from there. Both sides made that choice, and they have moved on. Best of luck, Deion. Go Pats. P.S. If Seymour was so unhappy with his organization, why did he stay? I think it is because the team is ultimately pretty fair and has a winning formula. This team may not be for everyone, and there may be free agents who don't want to come here. Free agents have a choice of 32 teams, and they make their decision based on their own criteria. We can't get everybody. Well,
I don't think Seymour said he was unhappy with the organization. I think he said he was just a little disappointed that this ended up the way that it did.
Right.
That's all I got. I didn't think he said, you know, they ought to fire Scott Pioli, we need a new coach. That's not where he was going with that. I think he just said, I wish this had turned out differently for us.
Although I thought when the part about Deion being everything, the organization's at blah, blah, I thought that was a little bit of a...
That was a little shot.
If he's so perfect, why is he not still here kind of comment. And all I'll say about Seymour is I've always believed he's had a little bit of an issue the way things are run here, maybe. Even before he signed his extension, dating back when he had issues, when he went to a funeral and didn't start a game, different things. But you chose to re-sign here.
Yeah.
So, in some level, I don't want to hear you criticizing.
Made more money.
Don't tell me he couldn't have gotten more money on the open market. He could have played out his contract and signed whatever contract he wanted.
The Redskins would have sold their stadium just to sign him.
So, I think it's a little hypocritical on his end because he kind of sold his soul to the devil. You chose to stay here. This is your team. You're a leader of this team.
And the point that the emailer made that the free agents can choose where they want to go, that's correct. I'm just saying, what if none of them choose to come here and we got to keep signing Monty Beisel and guys like that?
Right, and he says we can't get everybody. Well, lately there's been a lot of guys who they've kind of targeted that didn't want to come here.
I don't think the fans realize that. They were wondering why they didn't get it. They did target some people this year, and they did not get them. And according to Paul, the same thing happened last year.
It's been a couple years in a row,
we're not just making this up. It's happened. It's a fact.
No question it's a fact. Jeffrey Simon, Jeff from Hawaii again. Just for the record, if Graham is New England's version of a first-round bust, then we are going to get a good player with this pick. Every other first-rounder Bill and Pioli have taken is a very good to excellent player.
I agree.
I agree with that, too.
And I'm just saying what they drafted Graham to do, he hasn't done here. He's dropped too many passes. This guy at Colorado was an unstoppable force.
No question he's a bust. He's a bust as a guy you traded up for.
I hear, they keep him in the block and everything, but I see this guy drop a lot of passes. That's not what they thought they were getting. They thought they were getting Jeremy Shockey, a threat down the middle of the field that he hasn't provided. Now, he shows flashes.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. You'll see a couple plays a year where, like Andy told me before, where you just say, wow, this guy's unbelievable. The problem is we don't get that consistently enough.
Right. The one thing I'll say with him is if by chance he leaves as a free agent after this year and all of a sudden he's catching 75 balls and running all over, then I'll say,
the system.
He's a little misused, I think. Bradley Hughes checking in. Guys, Tom, I used to like you. Now, F*****U.
That's life.
I just work in a hospital and save lives every day. And maybe I should have said Super Bowl winless in Seattle. Just trying to get out of the top five.
Well, why do I care what you do? Hey, listen, I think you should make more money. My wife is a teacher. I think she should make more money. I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you how it is.
What'd you do to this guy?
I'm saying that people that they're not in the same league as athletes because people watch athletes. Listen, do you know how many people I read on message boards say, I have 35 jerseys, and these people live their lives through these guys. I'm sorry, you save lives, but you're just not as important as Tom Brady. That's life. That's the way the United States is run. I didn't make the rules. You know, my wife teaches little kids, she shapes their minds, and she makes less money than I do, and I'm doing this. So
right.
Tell me how important that is. My job means nothing in the whole scheme of things. So I applaud you for saving lives, but you're never going to make as much money as Deion Branch, and that's what I'm saying. These guys are worth a certain amount, so we can't say, well, take $1 million less to play here. Maybe he thinks he's worth $3 million more, and if that's the case, so be it. And guess what? He was.
Word. Chip Hurd checking in. Hey, what do you think Gabriel will bring to the offense when he plays? Also, we're all going to be pleased when Chad Jackson lights it up very soon. Chip Hurd in San Antonio. He's from San Antonio. He's a regular Ask PFW.
Yeah, I remember
emailer.
The name, Chip
Hurd. So what do you think Gabriel brings? And he thinks Jackson's going to light it up.
Well, I've been a big Gabriel fan throughout the years, so I'm hoping he can bring that big playability that he had in Oakland. He's, you know, him and Jackson are kind of similar to each other. They're big receivers. They both got good speed. And, you know, it would be nice if they could get on the field together, and maybe that would give the Patriots that big playability, because Rashay Caldwell, even if he does come on, isn't that big play kind of receiver. These are the two kind of guys that can stretch defenses, get that safety back so they can run the football. And if they can pick up the offense quickly enough, I think they'll be a huge asset to the offense.
Just to play devil's advocate and a little bit of Tom Casale here, all I'm saying is Andre Davis and Bethel Johnson could stretch the field too. Where are they now?
Well, that's the other side of it.
How many eggs we got in this Gabriel and Jackson basket here? All of them?
Well,
99% of them?
Thing. We kind of got slammed a little bit saying that Chad, like overstating what Chad Jackson was doing at that kickoff gala. I told you all from the second I said it, I wasn't overstating it, and this guy hasn't said a word since that night. Somebody got to him and said, listen, that's not how you act around here, and he hasn't said a peep since. So either Belichick, Kraft, the players, someone told him to shut up.
Maybe all of them all at once.
Yeah, because, you know, I know someone said, well, I don't care what he does there. I care what he does on the field. Well, that was a charity event for the owner of the team that you love so much. And if you're not being respectful there, then that's a problem, in
right.
my opinion.
WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. Closing on the last 15 minutes or so here, the second hour, Tuesday afternoon, PFW in progress, Gillette Stadium, in the post-Deion Branch era here with the Patriots. It was a pretty short era, I guess, in terms of NFL, but he made a lot of plays here, won a Super Bowl MVP, and now is a former Patriot, and what's left behind is a first-round pick in next year's draft, and obviously fans are commenting, so we'll try to cruise through. They got a lot of emails
here.
The
other thing to remember about the Seahawks is that, you know, Holmgren, even though he's not the GM, is still very involved in the decision process, and he doesn't have that much more time left there, and, you know, the coaches can say what they want. They don't care what happens once they leave. So he's looking to win the Super Bowl now. If this Deion Branch thing blows up in a couple of years, he doesn't really care.
And I saw that. I was kind of skimming the Seattle papers, and there was a headline, win now, no longer a mantra, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically, yeah, they need to win and get it done, because you never know how long you're going to keep a nucleus like this together, how long you're going to have Alexander and Hasselbeck healthy in the same year and things of that nature.
Right.
So, yeah, there's no question. They are going after it, and my boy Tom Ashworth looking for a Super Bowl ring, baby.
Oh, I hear he's playing.
I saw hideous, your little forward.
Hideous in Seattle.
He'll
heard,
be fine.
I heard,
learning
listen,
the
Patriot fans, I hear if they keep him in there, Hasselbeck won't last 3 weeks. You'll be getting a top 15 pick easy.
He'll be fine. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe it's all yeah, planned by Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Fred Kirsch style. Ryan Ward from Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. Hey, guys. I know you've got a ton of emails today, so I'll be brief. Andy Hart spoke about the hopes and dreams of millions riding on the shoulders of these. First of all, Tom Casale said that. Shoulders of these NFL players, and that's why we pay them big money. I feel disappointed about Branch like everyone else, but today I'm turning you guys off. I'm not going to watch ESPN. I'm not going to play flag football with some buddies and remind myself why I love this game. Then, come Sunday, I'll be ready to enjoy watching the Pats play and not worry about how many yards the receivers catch. It's only a game, and it's no fun to obsess about it. I hope you guys I hope to see you guys, yeah, right, at my first ever home game against the Broncos in 2 weeks. I'll be the guy in the nosebleeds that paid four times the ticket face value and drove 10 hours to get there. And unlike the regular fans, you'll hear me, and I won't be booing. Well, that's good. That's
well,
a good
that's
email.
That's fine. I don't mind if you do that, but just don't complain how much money they make is all I'm saying.
And you're right. You won't see us. P.S. Banta Kane didn't look too bad chasing Lossman into Warren, eh? Yeah, he didn't make the play, though. I've made a deal with him. I'll congratulate him when he makes a play, and he hasn't made a play.
I thought he did all right.
I went in the locker room afterwards, and I yelled, "Hey, Tully," and I held my fingers out like that close, and he smiled and laughed and said, "Yeah, I was that close." But it's not a play. Warren made the play. Banta Kane didn't.
There's more to a play than just,
facts.
Than just the ending result. Richard Seymour doesn't make every play, but he causes a lot of them to happen.
Suddenly, Tully Banta Kane and Richard Seymour are comparable?
I'm just giving you an example.
Luis Martinez checking in. This is Luis in Tampa, guys. I told you about 4 weeks ago that Tully Banta Kane would be a starter. He's getting better. He made the game-winning sack on Lossman. Yes, Ty Warren got the sack, but Tully Banta Kane's pressure made J.P. Lossman drop his eyes and tried to run. Go, Tully. Quick note. Do you think the Peter Warwick could be a good fit for Tom Brady because we need help soon or we will see Brady on the IR? Guys, keep up the good work. Peter Warwick, is he available?
Yeah, he's available, but something happened to him, man. This was one of the quickest guys I ever saw play college football. Then he comes in the NFL. He doesn't look like he can outrun me. I'm just perplexed by his lack of speed and big playability at the NFL level. It's just amazing. At worst, I thought he'd be a great punt returner, third receiver at the very least, and he can't even stick with a team. I don't know. I mean, if you want to bring him in, I got no problems with it. I don't know. He seems to be bouncing from team to team. Right. So,
and that's a common belief right now that, oh, we should go sign X, Y, Z, whatever player. I just don't think any guy you bring in week two is going to be your meal ticket.
Right.
I mean, the guys that are out there for a reason, whether it be lack of ability, first of all, or injuries or head cases, problems, Charles Rogers types, or David Boston
Maybe
types.
Maybe we can do what the Packers did and sign someone who's going to play 3 years from now.
Nick Scalia checking in. Hey, guys. Daniel Graham dropped a key pass once again. He's had a history of dropping balls over the last 2 years. Good blocker, gets open, but can't catch the ball. Do you think we let him go at the end of his contract?
Yeah, I think so. I think that is, unless he wants to stay here, which I'm not sure that he does.
I don't think he wants to stay here. But, any more than he wants to leave.
But I think what you said, Andy, that someone else is looking at him thinking, God, we can really use him a different way, is going to throw more money into the situation where the Patriots won't match it.
I think if he stays healthy, which is always a problem with him, he's got bad shoulders that seems like cause him to miss 5 or 6 games a year. But if he could put in a 16-game healthy season, I think he's the kind of guy someone could overpay for because they say,
poor guy.
Oh, remember him in college and the physical? Maybe we can.
Patriots aren't using him the way we would.
Right. So I think he's a guy you could see one of those head scratcher type. Really? They gave him that much. Craig Fiddles. No, Fids. Checking in. Hey, guys. Taking into account that Branch is gone, do you think the Patriots could be interested in the Raiders' disgruntled Raiders receiver, Jerry Porter? I was just imagining today how good Porter could be with Brady thrown to him. What's your view? From Newcastle, England, by the way.
Well, it's like I said, I don't really know. I mean, he would have to come here, learn the offense. I just feel that when they were talking about Gabriel, that Porter must have been mentioned in those negotiations. We believe that Pioli and those guys are very smart businessmen. I don't think they called just to talk about Doug Gabriel.
Right.
They probably called and asked about Gabriel, Curry, and Porter.
Right.
Would be my guess. And Gabriel was the one that they felt was worth taking the shot on. So it would be hard for me to believe that they would make a second trade for a Raiders wide receiver in less than a month. It just doesn't seem logical, but I guess anything could happen.
I wouldn't be trading that number one for Porter.
No, plus he's got, like Paul said, he's got a big contract. And
right. Because then you ended up just trading Deion Branch for Terry Porter, kind of. You're paying Porter. I would have rather had Deion Branch.
Yeah,
I know how he fit here.
I have to agree with that.
At this point, I'm intrigued by waiting, and I know it's a long way off now, but waiting for the draft, seeing what the draft's going to be like, being one of those teams where they say, you know what, the Patriots with 2 first-round picks could really be big players. I like that kind of stuff. So let's wait and see what that pick is.
Imagine, you said I can envision Brady throwing to Porter. Can you envision him throwing to Calvin Johnson?
Right, exactly.
Because I can envision that, and I can envision a whole lot of offense. Just picture this, okay? You got Calvin Johnson, Tom Brady, Ben Watson, Lawrence Maroney. Now I don't care who else you got on offense. That's, you're done. They'll score 40 points a game, no problem.
Right. Mike Moretti in Florida. How much are the Pats saving with, wow, did he butcher Gostkowski versus Vinatieri? Well, you're saving a $2.7 million approximately. Vinatieri was up in the $3 million a year range, and Gostkowski as a rookie is making a couple hundred grand. So it's significant savings. Now, the question will be, is it worth it if he starts to miss kicks? Or, you know, I thought it was interesting. I heard Peter King bring up the balance of power shift with the Vinatieri swing. And the way he worded it is he's not just going to assume Vinatieri's going to make a game-winning kick that Vanderjack wouldn't, but he believes at some point either Vinatieri makes one or Gostkowski misses one that will affect the Patriots-Colts rivalry in the standings.
I don't assume things like that.
Why
Gostkowski hasn't missed one yet. When he misses one, I'll let you know.
He'll miss one. I guarantee you.
I'm sure he'll miss
one. He doesn't have a perfect rookie season. I guarantee it. You want to bet?
No.
You're famous for betting. Let's put your money where your mouth is right now.
I think it's ridiculous to assume that Vinatieri is going to make a big kick and assume that Gostkowski is going to miss a big kick. That's
but one or the other will happen. That's what he's assuming.
I'm not assuming anything.
So you want to bet? You assume that Gostkowski is going to go perfect?
I don't think he's going to go perfect, but I think he's going to have a fine season.
It'll be a fine season. Jeff Moore wants to talk about the tampering charge. The charge was reported as the Jets let Branch know a second-round pick was the offered trade compensation, which the Patriots argue hindered their negotiation power, which I agree. It was one of the newspaper articles this morning. Yeah, I saw that. But I don't understand if you give a player the right to go out and seek a trade. Obviously, in seeking the trade, he's going to find out how much that team's willing to give up for him. So that's, I don't really think they have a leg to stand on here. Now, is this, when did this come in? We got breaking news out of Gary's email box.
Okay.
This is from Fred Kirsch. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Patriots, its front office, or Fred Kirsch. No, Fred Kirsch would be saying, Branch stinks. Branch stinks. He's never going to be anything.
We said that hasn't been balanced, though. We thought the Patriots made out on the deal. We think they're in great position next year in the draft. We're a little worried about the short term, what they're going to do at receiver, and we think Branch made out on the deal because he made a lot of money. So where is that not balanced?
I think we've been very balanced. The only person who's not balanced on this show is Fred Kirsch.
Yeah. I led the charge of the I wouldn't pay Deion Branch. I don't think that he can hold Reggie Wayne's jockstrap. I've been saying that the whole time, so I don't see where I'm being anti-Patriot.
No, you're just being anti-guys who make $30,000 a year and have normal jobs saving lives.
Oh, I think those guys should make $100,000 a year.
Anyway, Jeff has more tampering stuff, and he kind of has a link from Reese's story. I understand the question that's being posed, but I just think when you give a guy permission to seek a trade, obviously he's going to be seeking a trade, which involves the amount of compensation that team's willing to give up to get him. So, and then one other thing from Reese is that the Patriots intend on going after the full amount of his holdout, the $600,000. Yeah, so what? He's going to sign a $39 million contract.
He's about to have $13 million.
Instead of making $1 million this year, he's getting handed a $13 million bonus and a salary. I think he can pay the $600,000. I think it worked out very well for Deion Branch. Ah, crap. My first time. I made it through over a half hour, and I messed up with an email. Raymond Malcolm. What's up, guys? Just got back from the game last night, and I just found out that Branch was traded. I'm glad that this situation with Branch is over with. I agree with that sentiment. I think it's good that there's been some closure, because we knew he wasn't going to help the receivers, so it's not like you lost a ton there.
Right.
And it gets rid of it. But after the game Sunday, I am kind of worried about the receiving core and who is going to step up and be the number one receiver or Brady's go-to guy. I'm very happy about the way Dylan and Maroney played. The defense seemed to play a lot better in the second half. Overall, I know that the team will continue to improve as the season goes. By the way, I cannot believe that how the crowd reacted the whole game. I very rarely get to come home and go to a game, and to see how the fans acted during the whole game really pissed me off. Keep up the great work, and go Pats.
It's nice to see that some other people are seeing that it's not us making this up about when we talk about the crowd.
Right. But, you know, Brady gave them, he said he would have booed if he'd been up in the stands yeah. the other day. So, you know, it's, they react. I feel like if they were a Red Sox crowd, and I don't want to get into a whole Red Sox Patriots thing, especially with 4 minutes to go in the show, but a Red Sox crowd, they go bananas at certain points during a game.
Yeah.
If the Patriots crowd here went nuts enough, really carried the team through certain
right.
instances, then I would say you've earned the right to boo.
Right.
But don't be nonchalant fans 90% of the time when the team's winning 3 Super Bowls and then boo in the season opener, which, by the way, they won when there's a little bit of a low-level play on the field. You need to earn the right to boo, and you haven't.
I should say I would get used to more of the 19-17 wins because this doesn't look like a team that's built to win games 45-0.
No,
you're going to have these close kind of games throughout the year, and as long as they can – and as we saw against the Bills, the difference was, you know, they got the experience. They had Brady making the plays, and so you'll probably win more of those than you lose.
Right. Let's try to blow through a couple more emails here. And by the way, is John Rook in the house? Calling John Rook. John Rook, first regular season crossover, full week of radio here on Patriots.com radio.
Go to the Ohio State bonfire.
Calling John Rook, the real McCoy, the fake McCoy. Are you still grieving?
Or the Colt McCoy, whichever you prefer.
Is his mic on? Are you still grieving, John?
Over.
Oh, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
Didn't you witness a tough loss at some point in the last week or so?
Or are you still thinking about Vince Young running into the end zone? Every chance I get. The difference in the ballgame was fifth-year senior at quarterback.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Redshirt freshman at quarterback.
Ohio State's not going to win the national title. Their defense isn't good enough.
I don't think it is either. I would agree with that, Tom. And I was very impressed with Troy Smith. You know, he wasn't a Vince Young, but he was very, very good, and I was amazed with his poise. Texas tried to flush him out of the pocket, and he stood right in there, and he threw some lasers. I thought Texas defense was woefully soft, and I thought it was an ill-conceived game plan. I think they should have tried to make him scramble because I don't think they gave him enough credit for being a good passer.
Right.
And Kid Gonzalez just absolutely chewed him up. They were so worried about Ted Ginn, you know, burning him deep. Gonzalez killed him. So, you know, just a bad game plan, but you chalk it up to, you know what? Even so, if you don't have a redshirt freshman at quarterback, you probably are, you know, even with those guys.
Yeah, I agree.
I gotta tell you, I would have been worried about Ted Ginn getting deep, too. Did you see that one of the first plays of the game where they hit him crossing on a little 5-yard in cut from the left side?
And then he took
all
it.
Of a sudden, he's going down the right sideline, like,
I know.
2 seconds later, I mean,
that's
he's
why,
fast.
Well, that's why they did miss Terrell Brown on that play.
Right. Yeah.
That was the only play,
right.
though, that they really missed Terrell Brown, you know, right. that whole stinking suspension thing. So, but he's back for the Rice Owls this week. So,
kind of program you running down there?
It's a gangsta program. That's what
aren't
it is.
They all?
They're all,
all the good ones anyway.
Let's face it, you got to do what you got to do to win.
Not a lot of problems at Northeastern Paul School, but hey. They stink.
Did you hear that they've outlawed profanity now at BU hockey games? I saw that on the web today that apparently, and it made, you know, for like front page news on ESPN.com, that if you
that really
swear
bothers me, that some ass and I'll
exactly,
say
exactly if you swear at a Boston University sporting event, primarily the hockey because of the dog pound that they have there, you will be kicked out.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just
clean
thought,
it up.
I don't. When you brought up Paul, I just thought of, you know, you think, you know, Boston sports. It's Mr. Perillo's, you know, realm, and
it's not good for
Northeastern,
you.
Well, BU.
It's like a member of the media said to us Sunday as we were walking up. He was listening to Paul on the radio, and he said it was like he invented football, or at least according to Paul, he invented football.
Paul got a little upset at that. Which, by the way, is on EEI right now.
Is he?
What a whore!
Probably inventing football.
Bounces, probably.
They're paying him more money than you guys are paying him to be here. I don't blame him.
Oh, yeah,
just like you know, Dion.
That's right.
Right.
But anyway, we have you. Are you excited to be back here?
Oh, I'm very happy to be back. You're number 6 for Patriots Playbook.
Patriots play. You have 6 years.
Sixth year.
2 to 4, you've been doing Patriots Playbook.
Sixth year.
Wow.
Sucky. The first year. Thank you, Gary, for bringing that back. The first year we actually did it from 4 to 6. This is, I think, fourth or fifth year we've done from 2 to 4. So.
So what do
you? Because Gary actually had a, you know, legitimate radio program for a while, for a very short while, when Kelly Williams was still here as a, you know, his assistant. Right, Gary?
Yes.
You used to speak on the radio more
Believe
than just
not.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
Ooh. What do we got over there?
My phone.
See, the professional radio guy is turning this into a circus.
No, I just turned off my phone.
Yeah, so it won't go off during your show.
Figured so, you might need a little extra time here. What are we talking about? Dion?
Yeah.
You think?
Pretty much Dion and the no receivers and no offense that they had on Sunday.
Well, that was...
Well, no passing game, I should say. The running game looked very good.
Well, you may have to rely on that. Wait a second. How strange is that? How many years, the last couple of years, we've been moaning about the fact, or actually, I'd say two of the last 3 years, we've been completely just aghast at the lack of production in the running game for the most part. And now it's kind of like, oh, thank God we've got a running game.
And it's the challenge
thank
that
God we got Lawrence Maroney.
Right. And it's the challenge that I think Josh McDaniels faces, because I think Charlie, while he was here, showed that he could win in a variety of ways, whether it was dink and dunk early, then they started to try and get it down the field a little bit more. Then he had Corey Dillon in the running game, and he said basically his whole playbook was open. It made it so much easier. Now Josh McDaniels needs to show, okay, I can win when we have a running game, no receivers, and a Brady.
It's a very explosive team that is big and fast and can score in a large number of ways.
Where did that come from? I didn't even reference anything.
You said large number of ways.
Oh, okay. But
sounds like Jaws in there, don't you think?
That's what happens. I watch too much TV with those guys that supposedly are the professionals.
Jaws!
It's like you're the professional and your ring is going off. But yeah, I think that's an interesting challenge to see this offense kind of diversify and try to win in a new way. And they weren't exactly successful Sunday.
But I thought Dean Pease had a very good debut. They just absolutely took Lee Evans out of the game.
So
he's their big playmaker.
Yep.
I thought they didn't blitz a lot early, knowing their defensive line could put pressure. But then in the important situation there at the end, he sent Colvin and Bannacane from the edge, forcing the safety. Yeah, so I was very impressed with Dean P's play calling on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, so that's the story, Johnny. Talking about Deion Branch, got the Jets coming up.
Right.
Patriots have the Jets coming up in legal battles as well as in
field
battles.
Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting as well. And, you know, frankly, I think the Patriots should pursue it. I mean, you know, if they really feel like there was tampering, you know, done there, then by all means, go after it. I don't know what it's going
to
get you.
You want to be the best. Right, you have to beat the best.
It'll probably get you nothing, but at least it brings a little more drama back to the border war. You got Mangini up there now.
We can win this division.
They went after Deion. Now
the
Patriots are going after them in court. So,
what ultimately do you think, though, this team will do at wide receiver? Is there anything they can do?
I think they're going to stick with what they got.
Yep. I think what you see is what you get, and they hope that Chad Jackson or Doug Gabriel gets on the field.
That was
and
the only position he didn't play. Wide receiver.
Not the only one he couldn't play.
Well, that's also true. You know, I mean, I suppose, you know, you bring in Doug Gabriel for a reason. You hope that he's healthy enough to play. You got to give him a shot. I would suppose that he would get the first crack at it.
You know, I love Doug.
I think so. But at some point, you need to get something out of Chad Jackson. This was your draft baby.
Is there anything to Joey Porter's disgruntledness? You know, with the Raiders and the possibility that someone might try to swing a deal for him?
Someone is going to try to swing a deal, but as Tom brought up, when you're talking Doug Gabriel trade talks, don't you think Porter comes up in there too? And if you're willing, and I also would not be willing to give the first round pick you just got to get Porter.
No, I wouldn't
give
him
all that money.
Right.
No, I wouldn't.
I told Tom.
I frankly think getting the first round pick is a pretty good deal.
I love it.
You get
you
the
just
first round
wait.
Pick. You're going to have to wait a year, but I think that's sufficient compensation for Deion. And you're right. Let's kind of move on. It kind of sucks for this year, but.
Right. It's delayed gratification.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to play for the Patriots.
Frank's
so
absence
you,
is
you got a first round pick for someone who wasn't going to play for you.
Well, you know, and the thing is that, you know, he wasn't going to come back before week 10, and so, or week 11, I guess as the case was, and so it was going to continue to hover over the team, it was going to continue to be a distraction, it was going to, you know, it just was not going to be a positive thing, and the one thing that Coach Belichick has done very well in his time here is he's had a good way of taking care and putting aside distractions. He took care of this one. You may not like it, you may not agree with it, but he did take care of it.
And you can't really say they lost out. They got what they wanted, a first-round pick.
They got a first-round pick out, and I thought all along, even when this holdout began, and the rumors were, okay, what would you take to get Deion? When I first heard first-round pick, I said, take it.
Right.
You get a first-round pick for a guy who is the last pick of the second round, has yet to have a 1,000-yard receiving season. I admit he was a Super Bowl MVP.
Has 14 career touchdowns.
But let's face it, you know, it is what it is, as we're so familiar and you know, with saying around here.
It is what it is.
That's exactly right. And so you're getting a one out of that, take it.
So how long are we going here?
But I have one more very important question for John before we let him go.
Okay.
Baxter today? Or is Baxter no longer a part of the program?
No, Russell Baxter will join us on Thursday.
Oh, Thursdays is now Baxter's day.
I've also taped Ron Burgundy off of HBO, so I'll have some sound bites for you.
All right, well, we can look forward to those sound bites in the future shows, because that's right, we are now Tuesday to Friday, noon to 2,
woo-hoo!
Every week, PFW in progress. But up next, as it is every day now, 2 to 4, it's Patriots Playbook with John Rook.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity